Chicago Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Happy Selection Sunday.
Yeah.
It is ugly outside.
No.
But it's hot in the college basketball world.
Yeah.
You're hyped up today.
I'm always hyped up. I'm always excited to see you, to see Mike Jacobson, to be here at 720 WGN.
Well, we have a fun show today. And an extra hour. We're going to 7 o'clock.
What?
In honor. Yeah, you just finding this out?
No, I knew. I know. We're going to 7, baby.
We are going to 7 o'clock for Selection Sunday. And from 5 to 7, it is a Selection Sunday special.
Yeah.
We've reached out to a number of college basketball coaches, hoping to hear from Iowa's Fran McCaffrey.
My man.
Wisconsin's Greg Gard.
Also my man.
Hopefully Notre Dame's Mike Bray.
Do love Mike Bray. Who else you got?
Well, coming at 4, we're going to talk to Porter Moser, too, the head coach at Loyola, who's always entertaining.
Love Porter. Hashtag go Ramblers.
And plenty other things from 3 to 5.
I'll throw in a couple others. We got a potential Bill Carmody, former Northwestern basketball coach, now leading the Holy Cross Crusaders.
I know how badly you want to talk to him.
Well, we just want to give him congratulations. He did make it to the tournament with an incredible postseason run, 4 wins, all on the road. So congrats to Bill, who was always a class act here. And Northwestern, I think, even Northwestern, I'm sure, is happy for Bill. And Tom Crean, Indiana, who I was going around today, Adam, I'm asking people, you know, what do you think? How do you approach your Selection Sunday / more importantly your bracket? And people are like, Indiana. I had two people today tell me Indiana. They're good, man. They're good. Indiana. You don't buy it?
Nah.
Who do you like? Who does an Adam Hoge like?
Indiana has a soft schedule for most of the year. Congrats on winning the Big Ten. You can't just count out a feat like winning the Big Ten. But I don't think they're gonna be able to take down the top teams that they're going to come across in the NCAA tournament. They lost to Michigan in the Big Ten tournament.
That was not impressive. That's great. By the way, we should probably, just for you college basketball diehards out there and Big Ten fans, Michigan State is leading Purdue 36-26 early going.
Why don't you go ahead and look at the live television feed and redo that score?
Wow, 38-28, as we do have the TV on, and it's not 20 feet from me and something I can't see. It's right in front of me. Good
job,
Adam.
Right in front of your face.
I always look right. I look at my computer screen. You've got the TV.
You're right dominant. You always go. You can't turn left.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
Even on a stair climb when you had to go left, it's challenging. So we'll keep you up to date on Michigan State and Purdue. 38-31, Sparty on top. 18 minutes and 17 seconds to go in the second half. There you go. So I don't really know if it will matter for Michigan State as far as seedings go. Do you think it does?
It could, yeah. This could be a situation today where the selection committee is sitting there in Indianapolis with two brackets, and this game could decide whether or not Michigan State is a number one seed or a number two seed. I think they should be a number one either way.
What does that room look like when they're all sitting there? I mean, is it a bunch of old white men just in there?
I've been in that room.
Have you really?
Yes.
Were they making the decision?
Yes.
How did you get in that room?
Well, I wasn't there while they were making the decisions. I went through a mock selection committee in Indianapolis a few years ago.
Who was in the mock selection committee?
A bunch of media members, and some of the athletic directors were there. I was the Stanford AD. We actually represented a real athletic director and went through the whole process for 2 days.
How did this happen?
I was invited to it. I was covering college basketball at the time, and I was invited.
That's amazing. I'm kind of Hoge's looking at me like, "Come on, you did not. How did you not know this?" But I.
Well, I think you were probably, these were the days where you were out of town, in either Kansas City or Houston.
Those were the days.
And it was a lot of fun. I was a Stanford AD, and really, I mean, to be serious for a moment, you learn a lot doing that.
Oh, I'm sure.
And there's a lot of misconceptions, a lot of ideas that get thrown out there in these conversations all the time that are just not real about, like, what happens. To answer your question,
Yes.
It's like an old, it's like a conference room. It's a conference room, and it's kind of set up in a rectangle, and you're sitting kind of in a, so everyone's facing each other. And in the middle, every single member of the selection committee has monitors that show each team's resume. You can pull them up, compare them next to each other, and they go through this, what they call a scrubbing process. They seed the teams one through, what do they got now, 68 teams?
Up to 68,
and,
yes.
And then they scrub every single line through that seeding process to get your true seeding, 1 through 68, and then they fill out the bracket based on, a lot of it has to do based on regional, where you are to each site where the games are being held. It's interesting.
This is impressive. This is impressive. I think I just learned something. I didn't know there was a scrubbing process.
Scrubbing.
That's certainly a new term. And number two, I like that you were in that room, Adam. That brings something to the show. And we're doing, as you mentioned, we're going until 7. We're going to have a ton of coaches. Sam Panionovic, who is a college basketball guy, will be here from 5 to 7 with us as well. And we should also mention that it's not all college hoop. Vincent Goodwill, Chicago Bulls insider, CSN Chicago, will join us at the bottom of the hour in about 15 minutes. The Bulls with yet another injury. Pau Gasol with swelling in his knee, structurally fine, but the swelling, quote, significant, out 5 games or two, minimum of 2, could be 5, who knows. It's going to be a little bit. The Bulls might not make the playoffs.
Like, they really might not make the playoffs.
I mean, like, not making the playoffs. Come on. Because, like, now it's more exciting for me just from a standpoint that the 8 seed's cool. Because let's go. Let's play Cleveland in the first round and just shock the world. I'll live that dream. Like, that.
Okay, that's not happening, first of all.
Well, if they get in, it is. They're going to
shock the world?
Well, they're going to play them. I don't know about the shock the
yes,
world
they,
part.
You're right. They will play them. They will not win, though. Carm.
Yeah? Adam?
What happened to... I thought that Tom Thibodeau caused all these injuries.
Oh.
What happened to that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Remember when they fired Tom Thibodeau because he ran the players into the ground?
Well, that, and I think more so, there was just a personality conflict there between Gar and Pax and Tibbs.
But isn't this team more beat up now than they were under Tom Thibodeau? How did that happen?
I don't know. I think maybe, you know, these guys were playing basketball, and basketball can be a sport that can wear on you physically. And Jimmy Butler's playing, I think, the exact same minutes, if not more, with Fred that he was with Tibbs, because they need him on the court. I don't know. Derrick Rose, by the way, questionable to play tomorrow night at Toronto, if you're still following along, where the Raptors are a very good team.
Is he ever not questionable?
No.
Like, well, I even think when they say...
Sometimes he's probable. So there's sometimes,
but like even when he was like deemed healthy, I feel like you should always in your head, as just like this is a tip to Bulls fans, just in your head, just always consider Derrick Rose questionable.
I think Bulls fans are pretty much there. I think they've figured that one out. Can't count on D Rose. They never shop on an empty stomach, but Brittany and Elliot have your hunger covered with Chicago's best markets. That Sunday night at 10 on WGN. TV. We got Bulls talk at the bottom of the hour, but we're looking for tournament bracket winners. If you've ever won your bracket.
I don't think I know anybody who's ever won.
I don't.
I've never won.
I've never come close to winning. I'd like to know how people strategize their bracket, because most of you, I'm assuming, know absolutely nothing about college basketball, other than the fact that you like college basketball and you like the tournament and the tournament's fun.
Which is why we're giving you 2 hours of bracket breakdown.
Right, and we'll be doing that. But like for those of you who have a strategy and are willing to share, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, the best strategy that we find, will give away a Lou Malnati's gift card. But like, I'd like to hear how people go about it, because I have no... I got to pick a 12 seed, because there's going to be a 5. The 12s always beat the 5. Or I think there's got to be some key that I'm missing. Can you help me with this?
I think if you watched more college basketball, you would do better.
That's probably true, but I can't do that now.
Actually, that's not true, because I used to be covering the sport on a daily basis that I wouldn't come close to winning.
Exactly. 312-981-7200. Let's get some strategy going for the tournament. We'll all get rich. 720 WGN.
It's that time of year, March Madness. It's underway. couple of entertaining games this weekend. Including Kentucky and Texas A&M earlier today.
Wildcats get the win by 7. Kentucky, Tyler Ulis, they got a shot at this thing. It's my college. I'm picking Michigan State to win it all. Just want to put that out there. I will be taking Sparty.
I think I am too.
Love a Denzel Valentine. Although we did have Jordy Cordette yesterday, who
he said Kansas.
He loves KU. He's called him the most talented Kansas team that he's seen, which is a pretty bold statement. We are talking to you right now, 312-981-7200. He is Adam Hoge. I am Mark Carmen. This is The Beat with you till 7. And we're looking for people that have actually had success with their bracket and how they went about it and how they won money. And do a little public service right here on WGN for people. As you're all going to have your bracket as of tonight, and then you know you got to have it filled out by Thursday. Do you do it quickly? What's the strategy? Let's try and just help us through the best strategy. We'll give $25 to Lou Malnati's 312-981-7200. Brian in Westmont on 720 WGN. Brian, you're first. What do you got?
Hey, you stick pins in the names of all the teams you don't want to win.
You put voodoo pins in the teams you don't want to win.
It's as scientific as anything else.
But did this lead to success for you?
We'll see in a couple of days.
Okay.
Okay, so you're trying this out for the first time, Brian. You're going, are you really going to do this? Will you text us a picture of the pins in the team's names? And then we can.
I will do.
All right. We're going to create a website for you, brianinwestmont.com, and then we'll have pictures of all the pins, and then you might win $1 million. You know, are you going to play the WGN bracket pool, by the way? 63. You go perfect with those pins, you'll win $1 million.
All right. You got me.
All right. You get that. All right. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you. 312-981-7200. That's I should just mention that, right? Mine as well. WGN Radio's Bracket Battle, sponsored by Al Pomati. We're not allowed to play, right?
No, we're supposed to be playing.
We're playing
can't win
it,
the
but
money.
I know we're playing, but we can't win, can we? Like, if I go perfect
no.
bracket, can I win $1 million?
No, you cannot. You cannot win $1 million.
Seems unfair.
You can't win $5.
That's okay. It's like,
but we're still playing so that the listeners can play against us, which they will almost certainly beat us.
Okay, I'll get over
it. So not only can you not win, but you most certainly can lose.
You can register.
And we will be embarrassed.
That's okay. Register, fill out your bracket to make your picks in this year's men's college basketball tournament. You have until this Thursday, the 17th, at 11 a.m., that's when the games start, to make your final decisions. Follow the action this spring. Check your standings. See how you stack up against the WGN Radio family, myself included, Adam included, Mike Jacobson included. Up for grabs is your shot at cash prizes. Once again, predict a perfect 63-game bracket. You win $1 million. How do you go about this? What's the key? What do we think of Brian's pins in the name?
Well, I thought we were looking for people how they've already won.
Yeah, so that didn't work.
No,
right?
I don't think Brian's going to get it done.
No Lou Mals for Brian?
No.
Jim in Chicago, you are on 720 WGN.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're great, Jim.
I handicap the handicappers. I listen to the talk radio, I'm on the internet, and I just look for the expert opinions, and then I chart out some of the guys, and then I go with the favorites as they sort of come down the pike. I also search for upsets. You know, I get a consensus on general picks for upsets. And then, again, I listen for favorites, just like you guys were talking about Michigan State. You know, I put that on my notes, and then I do two or three, maybe four brackets. You know, within the same pool, they might be $10 to get in, or the free ones. And, you know, I hit about 1,000 a couple of years ago with it.
Wow.
So, you know, it worked once.
Wow. So you're saying, Jim, that from 5 to 7 o'clock tonight, when we are breaking down the bracket, you are going to be filling out your bracket based on what Mark Carmen and Adam Hoge and Sam Panionovich have to say. Now I feel I'm feeling... like pressure here.
Yeah, Jim, you
well,
sure?
No. Don't feel too pressured. I don't fill my brackets out based on you guys. I listen, you know, for the next 3 or 4 days, so you have an input.
Well, that's probably
you know
smart.
What I mean? So I'll take your consensus and then I'll weigh it out, you know, whatever I come across over the next few days. You know, and if I see the same teams popping up, and I look for upsets more than anything, because those are the guys that'll carry you through a little better.
More trust in the media or more trust in the coaches there, Jim, when they're talking?
Media.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Appreciate you. 312-981-7200. I do that too, but then I realize that these guys have no idea what they're talking about. Even like the guys that do it, like Jerry Palm, Joe Lenardi. They're great and they're brilliant, and I love having them on the radio, but they're also wrong a lot. Chris in Elburn on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, gentlemen. It was the love of my life. She was a year older. She ended up going to UNC. I was a senior in high school. She was a freshman. Now she's a Tar Heel at UNC. In 93, lo and behold, of course, I'm picking them to win, and that's when Chris Webber traveled, so on and so forth, and I won my high school's pool, which was pretty significant. And then what I did, for my spring break, I flew out and saw her there.
That's a nice win there, Chris, but we're not getting the strategy. Are you saying that you need a good woman in your life to help you win the tournament?
Love was in my, yeah, that's all it was at the time. I'm still a fan. Love. I didn't end up marrying her or anything, but yeah. Yeah, I had a little spark in my eye, and she went to UNC. They're going to win it, and lo and behold, off they went, yeah.
So you're saying if you're in a good, loving relationship, fun, exciting moment in time, karma is just going to flow well, and you'll have good thoughts, and you'll make the right picks.
And have Chris Webber travel, and yeah, you're going to
yeah,
win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, Chris, hang on. You're a candidate, officially a candidate. What do you think, Hogue? You want to go love conquers all?
I like when love conquers all.
Should we try Dan in Brookfield?
I think we should sneak Danny in here really quick before we hit the news.
Actually, let's go Jimmy in Naperville. He's been waiting longer. Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Yeah, these guys aren't really giving too much strategy.
Correct.
So what do you got? Have to pay attention. So say you don't pay attention to the college basketball all year. All you have to do is watch championship week, watch the games, the championship games, see who wins the games, and then when you're picking your bracket, pick the logical pick. If it's two playing a 15, take the two. If it's an 8 and 9 or right around there, then yeah, you can maybe mix it up and get lucky, but really just pick the logical pick is what I would say.
Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate you. That didn't do anything for me. I love him, though. Dan in Brookfield, you're up. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm kind of along the same lines as that guy. I'm very boring. I always pick the highest seed. Until you get down to the final four, and that's the only ones that you have to pick, and I've won two different pools doing that.
So you just chalk the whole way?
If 8's playing 9, I pick 8. If 5's playing 12, I pick 5.
And then what do you do in the final four?
Then you pick, that's where you pick who the hell you want to pick. That's where I pick my Spartans. I went to Michigan State. But up until the final four, it requires absolutely no thought
so,
at
so
all.
You had Michigan State beating Duke last year then?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that didn't work out. Duke won. I think Chris is our winner.
Chris?
Yeah.
Will you just say love conquers all, and then we're going to give you your Lumel? Just give me a love conquers all.
Love conquers all, gentlemen.
Damn. Yeah, that's right. All right, Chris is our winner for Lumel Nadis. We got to take a break. After the news, we will talk to Vincent Goodwill for chime in on the Bulls. What's up?
I just love that love conquered all right here on 7. That just makes me feel. Can I hug you during this break?
Maybe. Okay. 720 WGN.
Hey! What's this lying around? Well, what the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
War's over, man. Wormer dropped a big one.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Cause when the going gets tough... The toughs get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Come on! Hey! Who can set
the
court on
fire? The great John Blutarski Bluto. John Belushi.
If this season wasn't already ridiculous, Fred Hoiberg has now resorted to showing Animal House to his professional NBA basketball team.
If there's one thing that resonates with today's NBA players, it's 1978 Animal House.
Exactly.
I mean, that is a true story, apparently. The news coming out of Bulls practice is that Animal House clips are being shown. Guys, was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Okay. Well, give him an A for effort, maybe, Fred? We're going to talk to Vincent Goodwill from Comcast Sports in like 4 minutes. He's going through TSA at the airport.
He needs to clear up some things because there was also a quote from Fred Hoiberg today that was very interesting.
Yeah, that they need to, what are they, how do you want to say that, what he said? Because I don't know how to say it.
He said, here, this is from Joe Cowley in the Sun-Times. Fred Hoiberg said, quote, I can't say what I want to right now. The usually reserved Hoiberg said, quote, fighting through it and keep battling. Then when the media joked that they would bleep him out, yeah, he went for it, stating, quote, nut the bleep up.
Okay, then. Fred Hoiberg, ladies and gentlemen, Animal House, and then that quote.
Which like, I think Fred's like the guy that like is afraid to swear, and then like so when he says something like that, it's like, wait, what did he say?
He's letting you into his inner Hoiberg. Here, I actually have a solution for the Chicago Bulls.
I can't wait to hear this.
Okay, well, here's the deal. You have Agar Foreman, who I'm thinking, at least from everybody that I've ever talked to around the NBA, Gar lacks credibility.
He's going bye-bye, right?
Most likely.
Bye-bye. Would be,
well, we'll see. I mean, who knows with the Bulls. But you have a Fred Hoiberg who's on a 5-year deal. Is there any sign that Fred Hoiberg can coach?
Who cares?
I know there's a lot going
not
on.
Not this year. There hasn't been a lot.
Okay, so here's my solution. You're not going to fire Fred Hoiberg because you're paying him for 5 years and you're at $5 million a year, right? Can't fire the guy. $4 million a year, whatever it is. It's a lot of dough. They're not firing Fred Hoiberg. Too many years, still playing Thibodeau, the whole thing. So, this is what you do. You say, Gar, thank you for your service. Great effort. We are going to slide Fred into the GM position. Remember, he was in the front office in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Smart guy. Honest guy. Let him go. Slide him up. Put him in the GM spot. He's done similar stuff to that before. And bring in a dynamic coach. That's my solution. You don't hate it. I could see it. You don't hate it.
Well, here's what I don't know. Was he fired from Minnesota, or did he voluntarily leave to go coach Iowa State?
He voluntarily left to go to Iowa State.
And if he left the Minnesota Timberwolves front office to voluntarily go coach Iowa State.
Well, that's where he's from. He played there.
My point is, doesn't that tell you he'd rather be a coach?
Yeah, well, okay. Sometimes you think that he wants to coach right now. The guy's going Bluto in an Animal House. I mean, I think he's a nice little cushiony spot in the front office might feel good for Fred Hoiberg right now.
It ain't over now.
312-981-7200. If you want to call and tell me that I'm a genius for fixing the Bulls, which I think my solution is as good as anything I've heard anyone say.
Who are you going to hire?
Tom Thibodeau. Bring him back. But if not Tom Thibodeau, who am I going to hire? Oh, I haven't gotten that far down the road as to who's coming in.
Wait. You have a solution for the Chicago Bulls, and you haven't even thought of who the head coach is going to be.
I don't think this is going to happen. But who would I hire? Bring Tom Izzo in here.
Izzo has already turned down coaching LeBron freaking James.
No. He turned down Cleveland because he wasn't going to have LeBron. If he had had
that was before.
Yeah,
I thought there was another.
If he had had LeBron, he would have gone. It's a smart time, Izzo, or whatever. I don't care. Give me somebody who can connect with the team. Fred Hoiberg, listen. If you're going Bluto and Animal House, thinking that that's going to do something for Taj Gibson and Derek, do you think that Derek Rose has even seen the movie Animal House? Has any clue what it is?
My guess would be no.
Right? Does Jimmy Butler know what Animal House is? Imagine that room.
How many people in that room do you think didn't get the joke?
I think they're all just sitting there, like, staring at him and, like, being like,
well, you know what I mean? Like, the joke in that scene is that the Germans didn't bomb Pearl Harbor.
Right.
But do you think, how many people in that room do you think even, like,
100%
understood that?
100%. Yeah.
You think they all got it?
No, I don't think any of them got it. I don't think any of them got it, and I don't think any of them knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So front office, and yeah. So here, we're going to talk to Vincent Goodwill. Why don't we take a quick timeout, get to Vinny after the break? Does that make sense, Mike Jacobson? I think it does.
I think it does.
All right.
Let's let him get through TSA.
He's
traveling into Canada.
Vincent has never liked any of my suggestions either, by the way. You think he'll like this one?
No, I don't. All right, we'll talk to Vincent Goodwill next. 720 WGN.
You know, being shorthanded affects our game. But I don't know if the turnovers, which, you know, I take some responsibility on him, trying to hit too many passes. I just got to keep it a little more simple, a little simpler out there, and I will make sure I'll minimize my turnovers. So that's about it.
Pow, pow, pow! Well, that was a beaten man. My God. Pow, pow, pow.
Put me to sleep.
Gotta do something.
Anything. I kind of wish I was in Sacramento right now.
Pass the ball. Mark Harmon, Adam Hoge, 720 WGN. This is The Beat. That's Pau Gasol, who's got an inflamed knee. Gonna miss
this is unbelievable with this team this year.
Well, Pau Gasol's been on the court this summer, last summer, playing a ton of minutes, the whole deal, and he's 35 years old. It's bound to happen at some point, and it has. So he'll miss a couple of games, and the Bulls teetering on not making the playoffs, currently in the 9th slot, and now showing Animal House videos. We're waiting on Vincent Goodwill. We actually had an interesting conversation during the break about body odor, which I thought was fascinating. And your take, Adam, is that if you have body odor, it's the simplest thing to fix? There's a reason why I'm bringing this up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I feel like that shouldn't really be an issue, considering that you could take a shower, buy some deodorant and some body spray.
Let's say you're working with someone and they have BO. Are you supposed to tell them or not tell them?
Well, I have a very personal story on this.
Please tell.
My college roommate.
Yeah.
Had a little bit of a foot odor problem.
That's brutal.
My first year in the dorm. So this is like dorm where, I mean, there's one room.
He's taking off his
You're splitting this one room with this one guy. And, you know, it got to October, and a conversation needed to be had.
And what'd you say?
And it was probably the most awkward conversation I've ever had in my life. But boy, am I glad that I had it, because he said, "Well, thanks for telling me," and he took care of it.
Good job. What'd you say? I'm proud of you, young Hoge, taking care of foot odor at the University of Wisconsin.
I just thanks for listening.
No, but what was you? Hey, listen, how'd you broach the subject?
I think it was like, "Hey, man. There's really no easy way to say this, but your feet kind of smell."
And then he looked at you and said, "Really?"
I don't even remember. I think I blacked out.
Okay. Well, good job going for it.
They took care of the problem.
I had a situation on Friday, and it's a female who I know well and like her a ton, but every time I go to give her a hug when I greet her, she just stinks, flat out smells. And like, you know, what do you do with that? I mean, she's a single woman too, super sweet, and I'd like to see her be with someone. If I was a dude that was dating her, I'm running for the hills. You smell. I mean, you can't go through life stinking. But I don't. I'm not saying anything. I feel like that's not my place.
Well, if you're living with somebody though,
right? No, you
in a tiny little dorm room, and I mean, I made it through like a month of this, and I was like, all right, this has to happen. This conversation needs to happen if I'm going to get to May, right?
Yeah, and by the way, we'll take suggestions on this, 312-981-7200, but we do have Vincent Goodwill at the airport now through security on his way to Toronto and leaving the country. Hi, Vincent.
Imagine that. I was randomly selected.
Of course you were.
It's so random. That thing only happens to me, that's all.
What percentage of the time does Vincent Goodwill get stuck by security and want to pat him down, you down?
Good grief. It's not that high of a percentage.
Okay.
But if you think about it, you know, if you get patted down 10% of the time, that's about 9% higher than the average human being.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, chances are you lead the Bulls beat in getting stopped by security at the airport. Hey, Vincent, what the heck happened this morning with the Bulls? I mean, we're seeing reports of Animal House is getting shown, and then Fred Hoiberg is making comments that were certainly interesting and not things that he usually says. Can you kind of clear this up for us?
Well, Jimmy Butler will play tomorrow. They haven't said it, but he's going to play. Derrick Rose is a question mark. Pau Gasol is not making the trip because of a a right knee injury that he's sort of been playing through. There's been no serious damage with that. Now to the fun stuff. Animal health, that was used in the film session to motivate the team in telling them basically to not succumb to adversity. I've never seen Animal House. As you can imagine, it's a bit before my time as someone who's just barely 30 years old. So I'll have to brush up on the scene before I can accurately write about it. But the long or the short is, this team is desperate. Desperate for bodies, desperate for motivation, desperate for any form of something positive that they can hold on to before this season slips away from them.
Well, and that's the thing that we were just talking about. Does anybody on the Bulls actually know what Animal House is? I mean, who are you allowed to talk to player-wise today? I don't know if that resonates.
Well, funny you should say that. That we didn't talk to any player because they were leaving for Toronto, and mysteriously, they had all left for the airport before they could actually get in front of the microphone. Apparently, Mike Dunleavy was familiar with the reference and maybe a couple other players, but aside from that, once again, when you're trying to find motivation, when you're trying to find some type of metaphor to illustrate everything that's going on and what you have to overcome, they don't even have to see the movie to understand the reference, to understand the urgency of the situation. I'll even give Hoiberg points for creativity, considering the state of affairs right now.
Yeah, and
that's fair.
Yeah, no, I don't hate the move. It's just I thought Carmen brought up a good point that I don't know how much it resonates with you know, an NBA locker room. It's, what are we, 30 years removed from that movie, if not more? Vincent, I mean, this is a team that, I mean, are they really not going to make the playoffs? It seems like it's legitimately in play at this point.
Oh, I would say it's almost probable, considering the fact that the bodies that they don't have, the fact that Detroit has a 9-game homestand coming up after Monday. They can really put some distance between themselves and the Bulls. And if the Bulls go down 2.5, 3 games, can you see this team mustering up the requisite heart to climb back into the race? I don't see it. I think the closer they are, the more motivated they are. I don't think that as more desperate times come closer, I don't think this is the type of team, at least not now, this isn't the type of team that's going to band together and say, you know what, we're 2 games back. Let's really make a run of it. Let's do what we can, everything we can to get in. I think this is a team that's punch drunk from the past 5 or 6 years of disappointments, of injuries, controversy. And you're seeing basically the back end of that with the injuries and the malaise even before the injuries. And this is what the climb looks like.
Vincent Goodwill, Comcast Sports Zone, with us here on 720 WGN. All right, here. I got a solution here that you're not going to like. You never like my solutions, but I got a good one
for
you, Vince. Because I'm wondering what the fallout's going to be, whether they make the playoffs or don't make the playoffs. Make the playoffs, get beat down by Cleveland, or don't make the playoffs and end up with not anywhere close to an actual real lottery selection. Here's my thing, Vincent. You take Fred Hoiberg, right? I know he's not getting fired, but I'm not so sure about Gar Forman. You slide Fred up into the front office and you say, Fred, use that big brain of yours to go find us some players and maybe have some, you know, integrity in that spot. And then I'm going to hire a coach who can actually connect with the team. That's my solution. I don't think anyone's got anything better out there. What do you think?
Yeah, if that's the only solution that you have, man, I don't know what type of shape the franchise is in. I mean, look, if you have qualms about Fred Hoiberg as a coach, you're going to have those same qualms about him as a personnel evaluator, correct?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, because if a lot of times what happens is with coaches who go into personnel, you can just look at it. Coaches who go into personnel go look for players that they would coach.
Yeah.
Right? So if a certain type of player is a bit too raunchy, too loud, too passive, whatever the case may be, and you as a coach have a certain amount of say, or at least voice your certain amount of opinion, and that you wouldn't take that guy, what makes you think you would go after said player if you moved yourself to the front office? Now, I'm not saying what could or shouldn't happen. That's certainly above my pay grade. But I'm just saying the same warts that you believe Fred Hoiberg has as a coach will be the same warts that he will have in a much more powerful and impactful position being in the front office, and that could make things far more worse than they would be better. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Gar and everything else. You know, that's certainly once again, above my pay grade to speculate. But the Bulls do have some assets this summer. And if their biggest sin was that they stayed with this core 1 year too long, maybe there's something to, you know what, let's figure out what we can get done this summer with the way the cap is going up. And let's see if we can make, we can package some of these players and then reshape this franchise on the fly as opposed to going to a full-scale rebuild.
Vincent, great stuff. Appreciate the time as always. And, well, come on, you got to have TSA pre-check, don't you?
No, come on now. No. Actually, my appointment is coming up soon. And, Carmen, you want to check those facts on that conversation we had about Isaiah and Jordan in the locker room a few days ago?
I don't think I need to do any of that. I won that conversation, as I always do when we talk Bulls Pistons.
Since I'm getting off the phone, I guess he will win the conversation, but he really didn't win the conversation.
So yeah, it wasn't right.
I look forward to our next one, Vincent. You're the best.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
All right, Vincent Goodwill from Comcast Sportsnet. We got to take a break, hit the news. Porter Moser after that, 720 WGM. And it looks like Michigan State will hold on to beat Purdue. 4-point lead with 1.5 seconds left in that one. So it looks like Michigan State will be your 2016 Big Ten tournament champions. And boy, they look like the best Big Ten team going into the tournament with the most talent. So the NCAA tournament, I should say.
It is a final. 66-62. Tom Izzo and Sparty get it done once again. My pick, I guess. At least on this Sunday, to win the NCAA tournament. I have till Thursday to change my mind. I want that on the record.
And that music you just heard was the Loyola fight song as we bring in Porter Moser, the head men's basketball coach at Loyola. Porter, always entertaining. It's all, were you watching this game here, Purdue and Michigan State?
You know, I was watching one game a little bit less talented. It was the third grade Wilmette Park District basketball game. I caught one of my son's games, so I missed it. But I'm like you guys. I think Michigan State is clearly, I've seen them a bunch, and I think they're as good as, you know, a college team all around. I mean, I think Michigan State's really good.
Before we get into the tournament, Porter, and how and also the not just the NCAA tournament, but the other tournaments too, and some interesting choices for a lot of schools around the state. How do you size up the year you guys had over at Loyola?
You know, I tell you what, we had one of those years where we had some really good wins. I mean, we beat Creighton, who is the team we replaced. I know there was a lot surrounding that game, and it was actually my alma mater. But, and we had some, you know, we swept Northern Iowa. They were the last two teams to beat them. But we lost five league games by a total of like 7 or 8 points. And when you lose those close ones, and we won a handful of close ones, it was just one of those years where everybody seemed to hit a big shot against us right in the last. We just couldn't get that stop. And so that was the difference between really getting over the hump and having another 20-win season and not. And I was proud of how our guys fought back because we got into a deep hole to start the league, 0-5. And then we really, you know, rallied and continued to play hard because at that point sometimes you can really get down and shut it down. And our guys fought all the way to the end, all the way to our last loss against Wichita State in the conference tournament. The guys were playing good. We were playing our best basketball at the end of the year, which you want as a head coach. We just had some really tough losses to start that conference race that got us behind the eight ball.
Now, last year you guys won the CBI, and what would you say the value was in that tournament? Because we're seeing some schools choose not to play in these other postseason tournaments, and whether it's financial reasons or whatever. I mean, I'm sure it's different for every school. But I have to imagine that going through that tournament last year and winning it had to have some value for your program.
It was great value for the program. I mean, I know some people don't want to do it because the money you gotta put up some money to host it. But for us, the value was it was great to play in that tournament setting, to play the extra games. We got five more wins. We got our win total of 24. But just to get to that championship game, it was on national CBS, that's College Sports Channel, to win that game on the road. It was a lot of positives for the program. I mean, the memories we had from like just the culture that we took out of that. And, you know, even though we didn't get to the NCAA tournament this year, I wouldn't trade that experience for anything because I really think it's helping our program, even though the guys are returning next year. We had a tough year shooting the ball. It was you know, our top six players had worse shooting percentages than the year before, and that's tough. And but I don't at all put it on that tournament run. I think teams, you know, kids want to play in it. I think. I mean, maybe some don't, but our guys were fired up to play it. I think it was a huge benefit.
See, and then I look at it from, you know, you're talking about the money that schools have to commit to, and there's so much money in college athletics, and certainly, you know, on the top level, just so much dough pouring in. I think, you know, for the seniors, it's like the school, in my mind, almost owes it to the kid to play in the tournament, let him play a couple more games.
You know what? That's a great point, because they are these, you know, administrators are going to be, you know, hopefully doing it a long time. Coaches, you know, they don't have they're going to hopefully keep doing it. I know it's a volatile profession, but these young guys have 4 years to be college players. And for our seniors last year, Christian Thomas and Joe Christman, who came in when Loyola was at the bottom of the Horizon League and helped us transition into the Missouri Valley, it was those guys' last game. So to play in that tournament, they got to play in another experience. They'll remember that the rest of your life.
Right.
Those kids gave everything they had to Loyola. So that's a great point, you know, for these kids too. And, you know, they can go off the memories of their last game was a win. Last year, there's only four teams that can have their last game be a win. And those guys will, their last game of their careers were a win. And I think I think you put it the right way. I think it's, you know, some universities, I think you do owe it to the kids.
Before we get your thoughts on the NCAA tournament, and we're talking to Porter Moser, the head coach at Loyola, you obviously know this area very well. I grew up here. Carmen grew up here. We all are very familiar with the high school basketball scene here. I'm sure this is a question you get all the time, as do all the area coaches. But how do we get that high school scene, the great high school basketball scene here in Chicago and the state of Illinois, how do we get that to apply to the college basketball scene? Because it just seems like there should be more success amongst the college basketball programs in the state of Illinois.
No, it's a great question. And I think that's one thing we, you know, as all of us coaches that are coaching teams in this area are striving for too. I just think we're all trying to get over that hump, and you get into the tournament where you get that consistent fan base. We've had times where Gentile Arena is an unbelievable home court atmosphere when we fill it. But then when we don't fill it, we can't have that consistent home court atmosphere. You look, and that comes into play in recruiting when you see us on with teams on TV. And I think you look at the winning percentages of home teams. And in the city here, there's just so much to do. We got to really build a consistent home court advantage. That's a small piece of it. But, I mean, we all want to strive to keep the best players at home, you know, to recruit the best players at home. It is one of those areas that it's probably the most heavily recruited of all areas. Everybody in the country comes in this area and recruits. So you're in recruiting battles with sheer numbers of how many people are recruiting this area. You know, we got to convince these kids that, hey, nowadays with the way the financial situations are, you can stay at home isn't a bad thing. You know, we really try to sell. You see all the pride in when kids are on the AU circuit going around the country and representing their, you know, their in-state team and whatever AU program they are against out-of-state AU programs. We want to create that here and create that, hey, stay home and be a part of building your hometown team up. And I really think those hometown kids that stay home and get one of us schools over the hump is going to be remembered. And and that's how we're selling it. You can be remembered and really sell yourself and be remembered in this area by taking one of us to that next level.
Yep, and if you did it, if that kid was, you know, he's going to get a ton of attention. The school's going to get a ton of attention. That's the chicken and the egg thing with attendance. You start winning, people are going to come. You don't win,
right,
then it's, you know, it's very hard to get people to come out. I mean, that's just the reality.
No.
So,
and I see that in the Missouri Valley. I mean, all the other nine Missouri Valley schools are in areas where, like, the only thing to do is their college team.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, the Missouri Valley, they're all in basketball towns that are there. And, you know, we have to convince these people here that, you know, you can, there's a lot of things to do. I get it. But I do believe that once it snowballs, it can snowball. And that's what you're striving for all the time.
You know what's really hurting you, Porter, more than anything else?
What's that?
I'm just playing around here. Don't worry. I don't have any deep thoughts. Carmen's Pizzeria, which was right across the street from the Gentile Center, went out of business. That was the way to go to a Rambler basketball game. You went Carmen's Pizza. Now, I'm not related to, by the way, to Carmen's Pizza.
I was going to say, is this a family business?
I'm an AN. This is an EN. But Carmen's went out of business, or they moved their business, rather. And that was, in my mind, a huge blow for the Ramblers. We got to get them back.
Well, I'm willing to do anything. I mean, I go to speak to every student group on campus. I tell you, if you feel that something, like, show me where to go.
Hey, before we get out of here, what are your thoughts on the maybe some other sleepers in the NCAA tournament? I know we talked about Michigan State. They don't really apply as a sleeper, but I know you watch a lot of college basketball. Who are some of the teams we'll be watching out for here in the coming week?
Well, you know, it's interesting if Monmouth gets a bid.
Yeah.
You know, Monmouth's one of those teams that have beaten some big teams. They kind of feel it. You know, I think it'd be interesting to see if Monmouth does get an at-large bid because, you know, they've done it before. Early in the season, they knocked off some big boys. And then we'll have that, you know, that you can, a team like that can get a bigger team tight with that. You know, Texas is a team that kind of, you know, Shaka Smart has, you know, and I'm talking, you know, they're going to get a lower, higher seed, but, you know, with Texas, you know, he's the way he presses, and he's had a lot of tournament success. It's hard to call Oklahoma a sleeper. They're not, but I love Buddy Hield. I love that. I think there's some teams that in the Midwest that don't get to see the West Coast teams, like in Oregon. You know, Oregon hasn't – they've lost two games out of the last 16, and they were both on a back-to-back road trip at Cal and at Stanford. Other than that, they've won 14 out of 16. And people don't get to see a team like Oregon a lot. You know, so it's interesting to see those West Coast teams. You know, I think, you know, St. Mary's, they should be getting a bid. You know, I was really impressed. I saw them against Gonzaga two times. I think some of those West Coast teams get forgotten because you don't see them as much out there. But I like a St. Mary's, a team that didn't win their tournament, that can kind of have an edge going into this tournament. They'll feel new life if they get that when they get that at-large bid.
What's your advice to people filling out their brackets, Porter? What do you, if somebody came to you, hey, how do I try to win a couple dollars here? Not that you would ever gamble, but you know, people say, they say senior guards, they say I'm, you know, pick somebody that's dominating in a smaller conference that gets no love. How do you? What's the advice that you as an expert would give?
Well, you know, if you look at. People always ask to talk about their players. Like, even when Butler went to the Final Four, they had two or three pros on that team. You know, Shelvin Mack, Gordon Hayward were pros. Look at Wisconsin went last year to the Final Four. They had Decker Kaminsky, two lottery picks. And you look at all the teams, Kentucky. You get to that level, you've got to have one or two elite players. Everyone goes, well, there's been Cinderellas. But, I mean, Butler had two pros and Matt Howard's at the highest level overseas. You know, so I look at some teams that, you know, like a Michigan State right now. Denzel Valentine is putting up numbers like over 7 rebounds, over 7 assists. He's made almost 100 threes, and he's averaging like 19. That kid, he can single-handedly, like you can jump on him like that guy at UConn, Shabazz a handful of years ago.
Yeah.
So you look at a guy like Buddy Hield. He is a pro. He has that kind of ability to take a team on a platform in the NCAA tournament and run with it. It's hard to find teams that have gotten to the Final Four without even VCU. They had a pro, the big kid that was playing for the Bucks a little bit. But I look at seniors. I do look at veterans, but it's hard to say that the Kentucky blows that mold out. You know, teams that can rebound. I mean, if you get teams that just get smashed on the glass, you play a team like Kansas or Michigan State, you're going to really, really struggle. And I think Kansas is one of those teams that goes into every single venue in the Big 12 and gets their best shot. And I think Kansas is a team that I look at, you know, that they can really make a run this year. I look at Wichita State as a team this year. You know, if they get this at-large bid, I think everybody's waiting in our league to see if they get that bid. But they've been on that platform before. If Wichita State gets new life and gets in this tournament, you know, I like Wichita, and I will tell you, because they've been on that stage, I think Baker and Van Fleet are just phenomenal guards, and they've just answered the bell so many times, and I think they're going to feel like they got new life if they get this bid. And I think Wichita State is a sleeper because everyone looks at them and kind of counts them out because they lost in our tournament.
Porter, great stuff. Really appreciate the time. Good to talk to you.
And Larry Sanders is the player from VCU, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. Right. Thanks.
And hopefully this time next year we're talking about Loyola seeding in the NCAA tournament.
Amen, brother. Amen, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, have a good day. Porter Moser, head basketball coach at Loyola.
I love Porter.
Hey,
fan.
When we come back, there's something that kind of slipped through the cracks yesterday on the show, and we need to come back to it. I'm not letting you off the hook.
Okay, then. Let me just tell you this, then, as I get nervous about what we're doing next. For all the results and reaction, Tuesday night, watch primary election coverage with Mark Sapelsa, Micah Materi on WGN TV News at 9 and 10.
Holding Carmen accountable, 720 WGN.
How much is that dog in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that dog?
Do you understand what we're
going to
talk about now?
I think I do, yes.
I do hope that dog
is for sale. Yesterday on the program, Mark Carmen just kind of casually throws out there that he's going to get a dog. Can you explain yourself?
Well, before I do explain myself, I just want everybody to know as I explain myself that you're listening to The Beat on 720 WGN with Adam Hoge, who's putting me on the spot, and yours truly, Mark Carbon. Well, Adam.
Did you like regather yourself there before
Well, it's a big move for me.
I agree.
So, you know, as a single man in my early 40s, I'm looking for that connection. And yeah. I have an outstanding stuffed animal by the name of Arnold.
So are you giving up on humans now, or
that
point?
No, not at all. I have great faith that the human that I am meant to be with is coming along, and hopefully that'll happen sooner than later. I have that faith. But, you know, there is a certain companionship the four-legged friend brings you. Always happy to see you, which is something that I have been slightly unsuccessful with in my female dating past. And, you know, likes to play the sports. I need somebody who can, I need a dog that can retrieve, henceforth perhaps a golden retriever or I'm thinking lab.
I was going to offer my dog, but she doesn't retrieve anything.
I need some retrieving. She
doesn't know how to play fetch.
Yeah, I want to go to the park. I want to work on my arm. Maybe bring the tennis racket with me and just hit balls into the Netherland and have them run backs.
Actually sounds fun.
Right. I mean, that's the type of dog that I need.
Are you aware, though, of the responsibility of a dog?
Yeah, that's why I haven't gotten one yet. I've been sitting on this fence for a little while.
Like, I don't feel like you're home very often.
No, I'm not.
That's a problem.
Yes. I'd have to make some life changes.
Yeah.
But I'm working on that.
Okay.
And there's all these. There's also this thing called dog walkers, which I know is an added expense, but I think that.
Are you thinking puppy or like going for
rescue?
1 or 2 year old.
Give me a nice rescue.
We got a rescue and she was still a puppy.
Yeah,
that was a lot of work.
I think I want my dog to be of the size that he's going or she is going to be. I want at least grown up to that level.
Now I have admittedly, and I've never shied away from this, I think we lucked out with our son James. Pretty for a baby, he's pretty low maintenance. I mean this when I say this, that Maggie, our dog, was more work when we first got her than James ever was.
That's terrifying.
Well, we're talking about a puppy. I'm talking about a puppy.
Well, I know how long.
I mean, that is like insane. Like, you want to give it back so many times as much as you love the dog.
I'm not going puppy. My brother just got a puppy.
Okay. I would recommend that for you.
You would?
No puppy.
No puppy.
Avoid the pup.
Okay, I'm not going puppy.
I had the same conversation with my aunt last week, who's...
Aunt Hogue?
Aunt Glom.
Aunt Glom?
She is she's home all the time. They live out at a lake now where the dogs can run around. And she was saying she didn't want a puppy. I was recommending puppy for her. I'm going anti-puppy for you.
I'm with you on this. Okay. I'm not going puppy. Too much effort. That's like a year to get the dog right.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
I just need like a two.
I'm telling you.
I need like a 2 week stint where we just, you know, get our deal going on. All right, news at 4:30. Sam Panionovich is going to be in studio with us at 5.
I want to go with you to get the dog.
Do you?
Yeah, I kind of want to.
We can do that.
Okay.
That'll be a big bounty moment for us. 720 WGN.
WGN.
Going to talk some Bears football in a second here, but I'm getting significant negative feedback on the dog in my life.
Yeah, we talked this over during the break, and I think I'm changing my mind.
I was thinking about getting an animal. My name is Mark Harmon. Adam Hogue is sitting here, 720 WGN, and leading me and leading the show into an area that perhaps maybe I shouldn't be going with. You brought up that I brought up wanting to have a dog yesterday. And then 847's texting, I think it's wonderful that you want to share your life with a companion animal. However, I think if you are sincere about this, you need to pool your resources and consult Steve Dale. He will be able to steer you towards the correct animal for you and your lifestyle. There are so many that need rescue and in need of homes and the love and compassion of owners. And then there's another person texting in.
By the way, nice of Steve to text the show.
Yeah, 847's texting in tropical fish. That might be a better play for me at this point. Have a nice fish. I don't know if I could connect with a fish like I could with a dog. What's the text that you have, Mike? You could tell me. I don't know if you want to say who it's from or not.
Oh, that's fine. It's from my mom.
Oh, my God.
Sandy Jacobson. Shout out to her. She is a volunteer at a dog rescue 7 days a week. She says she was listening. She said, quote,
she's super excited that I want to get a dog?
Absolutely not. Quote, don't get me started. No dog for Mark at this time in his life. He's never home. Get a cat.
I'm not getting a cat, Sandy.
End quote.
I've never met Sandy.
Love Sandy. Well, it's my mom. Wonderful woman.
You should love her.
When do I get to meet Sandy? So we can maybe if she knew me, she'd feel better about, you know, me getting an animal.
How about after you get the cat?
Cats are why are you so anti-cat?
I'm allergic to cats to start.
Okay, well, all right. That's cats a legit reason.
But cats are boring.
And
no,
sneaky.
They're not.
Yes, they don't.
My cats are the opposite of boring.
They don't go outside.
Which is a good thing.
No,
you don't have to worry about them.
Not litter boxes, no. Just not doing it. Everybody who's got a cat, I walk into their house at some point, just stinks in the corner.
If you don't like litter boxes, wait till your backyard is just filled with dog poop.
That's why I live in the city. I have a condo, and I walk it down the street, and I pick up, and I put it in the garbage. There's no backyard.
That's another thing.
No issue.
You're going to walk that dog when it's 10 degrees out in January?
It makes me get out of the house. It's good for me.
I don't think I've walked Maggie. Actually, I walked Maggie yesterday for the first time in probably 3 months.
What are you doing to Maggie?
Oh, that's my wife's responsibility.
Oh.
No, and she knows it. Oh, we had ground rules when that dog came in the house because I was anti-dog.
Okay. Well, if you guys work that out beforehand, then I'm not going to step into your personal marriage decisions in life. By the way, Selection Sunday coming up at 5, Sam Panionovich will be with us. We're going to talk to Fran McCaffrey from Iowa, Greg Gard from Wisconsin, and hopefully a bunch more as well. Little Bears news, Adam. The St. Louis Rams are looking at Zach Miller to be their...
The Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I just say St. Louis? That's terrible.
No, it's not. I've done it a bunch of times, and I will probably do it for at least a year before I get used to that. But yeah, the Los Angeles Rams, supposedly Zach Miller is visiting them today, and I guess they took notice when he had two touchdowns, including an 87-yard touchdown catch and run this year in St. Louis. Remember that play?
I do. He had some great catches this year, and he's a guy that's easy to like. But I'm not giving Zach Miller, who can never stay healthy, $5 million. I wouldn't even give him $3 million.
You're just comfortable letting him walk out the door.
Pretty much.
Here's if I have a problem with what the Bears are doing right now, it's you already lost Matt Forte. They're trying to trade Martellus Bennett. It seems like they're willing to let Zach Miller go. I mean, who's playing offense next year?
Well,
and you're putting this all on Alshon Jeffrey, who
Kevin White,
who, by the way, is just under a 1 year deal right now.
I'm not
Kevin White. Better, we don't know about Kevin White.
Personally,
you put a lot of stock in a guy who's never played it down and couldn't even get on the field his first year.
Yeah, personally, I'm not trading Martellus. I agree.
I think that that's a mistake.
That part I don't get.
Especially from what I'm hearing, that his value isn't even worth much. It was one thing to trade Brandon Marshall for a fifth round pick. Brandon Marshall was a huge problem in that locker room. He had to go. He would not have mixed with this regime at all. Martellus isn't the best fit by any means, but I don't think he is causing a giant schism in the locker room either. I think there are days where guys are rolling their eyes at him, and he's maybe not the most easy guy for this coaching staff to mess with every single day, and the reported outbursts that you certainly don't want to have in there. But look, it's the NFL. You can't completely escape that. You're not just going to eliminate that altogether. And you're talking about getting rid of a guy who can block, who can catch, who's productive, that fights through every single little nagging injury he has until last year he just absolutely couldn't get through a broken rib. And you're just going to get him back for a fifth or sixth round draft pick or trade him for that? I keep him.
I'd keep him too. And listen, it's one year on his contract. I mean, if it doesn't go any better this year, you're
very
out.
Affordable.
You're right, and you're out from under him. 847 texting, and Matt Forte elected to play with Brandon Marshall. So much for the Marshall as a pariah baloney. How would you respond to that? Mr. Brandon Marshall had to go.
I don't think that necessarily proves anything.
Probably not, but it's a slight correlation. Matt Forte, he went to the New York Jets because the New York Jets paid him the
exactly.
most money.
I don't think he's going to turn down the most money because Brandon Marshall's also there. I also don't think that Matt Forte and Brandon Marshall had any giant problems. I think you didn't hear anything about Matt Forte and Brandon Marshall having any issues until after Brandon left and he said some things about Jay Cutler, who was still on the Bears, and Matt Forte went on the Rich Eisen show and defended his quarterback. And he said that Brandon Marshall should have held himself more accountable, which, by the way, is the most obvious statement of all time. So I don't think there's any issue there, and I don't think that proves anything with Brandon Marshall being a problem or not being a problem.
Bears have been very busy. Rewinding back to Brandon for just one more second, I would have kept Brandon. I know you think that it was untenable and him and Jay and whatever else, but he had a huge year with the Jets. But
would that have year gotten the Bears into the playoffs?
Maybe. They had a million close losses this year. You had one.
But once he got to the playoffs, what are you winning?
Oh, okay.
No, I'm serious, though.
But you're in the playoffs.
But this regime, Carmen, is trying to flip over an entire culture that was so bad. So bad. And you cannot deny that. And now we're at the point where guys like Danny Trevathan and Bobby Massey walked into Hallis Hall the other day, and they wanted to be a part of this because they've heard such good things about playing in that locker room now. And you guys don't you want Kyle Long to be the biggest voice in that locker room, not Brandon Marshall?
Yeah, but as you just said, it's an NFL team. Like, you're not going to have 53 choir boys in there. It just doesn't work
that way. I agree. But you also can't have the guys that are causing way too many problems that it's a huge distraction.
Well, if they're not performing. But Brandon
was performing.
That's my point. Like, you're getting a
Brandon
lot.
Brandon was performing, and it was still deemed that he had to go.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that says a lot about how big of a problem he really was.
I get that. But, like, if I'm John Fox, I feel, like, pretty comfortable that I could handle him. Look at the way he handled Cutler. They came in here, they gave
whoa,
him...
Whoa, 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 whoa. Cutler?
Whoa, yeah?
There's no comparison between Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall. Cutler is not a problem at all.
Cutler wasn't a problem as far as the personality, but he was a problem as far as... Well, his personality actually was a bit of a problem. There's a lot of people in that locker room that didn't like Jay Cutler.
And they're all gone.
They came in and handled Cutler different than he'd ever been handled here, right? And he had the best year that he's had.
Yes.
Okay. But why couldn't you do that with Martellus?
With Brandon, you mean?
Yeah, with Brandon.
Because Brandon has a track record that is never going to change.
Jay had his own track record, too, but I get...
But Jay changed. Jay settled down. He has kids now. He has not been a problem in that locker room for over four seasons. That's just a fact. And D-Mac, who was on with us yesterday, need to realize that. And the rest of the country,
listen,
too.
That
guy has not been a problem in the locker room in 4 years at all. He's become a leader. He's a captain now. He's completely different. And people need to realize that. If you want to complain about his play on the field and things like that, fine. Which, by the way, was pretty good this last year, too.
I called him the MVP.
But he is not a problem in that locker room at all. And Brandon Marshall has never changed. And by the way, his track record's always the same. He goes to a new team, and everyone loves him for that first year, and he's very productive. And then what happens in year two? And you watch this year.
I will.
You watch the New York Jets.
The guy had a phenomenal season.
You watch the New York Jets, and you see if Brandon Marshall's not going off after games, that's whack, bro, and all that nonsense.
God, I miss that's whack, bro. The seedings are starting to come out, so we'll come back and update you on who is where. And also we'll tell you that the Midwestern University Eye Institute in Downers Grove is now accepting patients as a full-service clinic. The Eye Institute provides comprehensive eye exams, glasses and contact lenses, eye disease screening and treatment, vision therapy, low vision rehabilitation services, and emergency eye care. It's all at an affordable price. Learn more at MWUClinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's MWUClinics.com or call 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic, your family's home for health care.
The one seeds are already out in the NCAA tournament, and there is an absolute shocker. I cannot believe this, and I think we've got four seeds announced, and I think the NCAA selection committee has already screwed this whole thing up. It's 720 WGN. All right, the one seeds are out. NCAA tournament is coming together. We have our one seeds, and the biggest shocker, Michigan State is not a one seed.
Oh no. I love March Madness angst. How come they're not a one seed? They should have been a one seed. He's not a two seed, should be a three seed. Three seed should be a two seed, two seed should be a four seed. That four seed should be a five seed, the five seed should be a six seed.
Okay, I have no idea what you just said, but I do know that Michigan State should definitely be a one seed.
It is shocking. The top five team, they won the Big Ten tournament. How are they not a one seed? But I guess...
Here are your one seeds. You have North Carolina in the East region. You have Kansas in the South region. Virginia, despite losing in the ACC tournament, in the Midwest region, which, by the way, will be played here in Chicago, the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight at the United Center in a couple weeks. And then Oregon is in the West. And Michigan State, not a one seed, despite having less losses than both Oregon and Virginia. Oh, and North Carolina, by the way. And winning the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, I don't...
I don't get that at all.
Well, I mean, I guess some train of thought along the lines of why that's going on is because Michigan State's a non-conference schedule, not that overpowering, a little bit on the light side this year. And Sparty did have, you know, that period early in the season where, I mean, they were sitting at one point at 500 basically in the Big Ten after, what, 8-9 games. So I suppose they're being penalized for that. To me, it's more like, where do you get to go? Who are you in the Midwest? Are you in the South? Like, if I'm Michigan State and I get to be in the Midwest region, I'm a two seed. I'm good with that. I mean, I think they're going to feel obviously slighted right at this very moment. But, you know, two seed, one seed.
It's a big deal.
It is, and it's. I mean, two. I guess okay. So okay, if you're let's think about how big of a deal that is. All right. You're a two seed. You're playing a 15. A one seed's playing a 16. Big deal?
No.
Okay. So one seed's playing an 8-9. Two seed's playing a 7-10.
There's a difference between a 7, though.
7.
And the 8-9 teams are almost always eh.
Come on. You can't just say that. You can't just throw out that and all 8-9s are always eh.
And then
7-10 is like.
They usually are.
I mean, listen, you'd rather be the one than the two. I get it.
More two seeds lose than the one seeds.
It's on. It's already on. Sparty's a two, and we got problems. It's surprising to me. But listen, you know, if they start out in the Midwest and I'm Michigan State again, I'm good with that. West Regional is going to be played at the Honda Center. The South Regional is at the KFC Yum Center in Louisville. Honda Center is in Anaheim. The Midwest, if Michigan State gets to be in the Midwest and go to the United Center, wouldn't you rather, like, let's say if you're Michigan State, hey, we'll make you a one seed and you're going to be in the West Regional, or we'll make you a two seed and you'll be in the Midwest. What would you pick if you're Sparty?
Wait, say that again?
You're a one seed in the, here, if you're Tom Izzo, I'm going to make you a one seed in the West,
yeah,
or I'm going to make you a two seed in the Midwest. What are you taking? Without looking at the teams that are in the bracket.
I guess a two seed in the West, in the Midwest.
So we'll see if they get it. If they're
but, and you know what? That is pr- probably what the NCAA committee is going to say is the reason. Because as I mentioned earlier, when I went through this process in Indianapolis, I went through a mock selection committee. Where they send teams does matter. I mean, that they will sometimes move a team up to a one if it makes more sense to keep them closer to home,
right,
and put the other team in the two. But my question is, why didn't they do that with Wisconsin in the last 2 years? Wisconsin went out west 2 years in a row, and by the way, won their bracket both times to get to the Final Four anyway.
Yeah, if you're a great team like Wisconsin.
But they were still the fourth number one last year, and they got sent out west.
Well, because
they dealt with it.
I'm not saying it's insurmountable. I'm just saying you would prefer to be closer to home. Get your fans in the building. I think fans, like, that's how I pick my upsets. Like, if you're a 12 seed and you're playing close to home, I feel like that gives you a huge edge, knowing that you're going to have a lot of fans in the building and that's going to start swaying the game. Because, listen, it's one and done. That's the beauty of the tournament, right? I mean, like, look, Villanova's playing UNC Asheville out of the South region. UNC Asheville's a 15 seed, but they're playing in Brooklyn. So the crazy UNC Asheville fans can take the train up from a little Carolina, ride up into a Brooklyn, New York, and they can have a huge impact on, but see, now they're playing Villanova. So, I mean, Nova's going to have a huge crowd there. Iowa's a 7 seed playing.
All right, okay, go ahead.
I can't jump ahead.
Well, I think if we're going to start giving the bracket out, we need to do it in some sort of order and not just start mentioning random games.
Well, I mean, okay. But the South region's being announced right now. Iowa's a 7.
Right. We'll get you, once the bracket is out, we will communicate every single game and matchup in a sensible way that makes sense to everybody.
They're playing Temple in Brooklyn. Go Hawkeyes. Fran McCaffrey on the show sometime after 6 o'clock. 312-981-7200. 720 WGN. The one seeds again. Carolina, Kansas, Oregon, and Virginia.
I think Michigan State deserves it over both Oregon and Virginia.
I'm
shocked by that.
I'm shocked by it too.
I think you look at the talent, the body of work, the fact they won the Big Ten tournament, Virginia didn't. Oregon's not as good of a conference. I mean, that just does not add up. And the reasoning, I'm assuming they're going to end up in Chicago in the Midwest Regional, which selfishly I'm okay with because I have tickets to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, and I am excited. I would like to see Michigan State there, get a little Big Ten flavor.
Where are your seats? They're stud?
I think they're corners, 200 level.
Wow. Look at Adam Hogue making the investment, going to the tournament.
It's actually Richard Hogue that made the investment in going to the tournament.
By the way, people should go to Adam Hogue's Twitter right now, at Adam Hogue, and look at his Michigan State is not a number one seed with the panda. It's a great gift that you just threw up there.
At Adam Hogue. I'm big on gifts lately.
I've
not
noticed.
Not gifts, but gifts or gifs.
All right, here, let's after the 5 o'clock news, we will update the brackets in its entirety, as I guess we will not go completely crazy and just start watching along here. But,
well, we'll have the South region for you after a quick timeout. Let's break right now. Maybe we can give the South region before the news, and then we've got Sam Panionovich coming in here after the 5 o'clock news. He's going to help us get to 7. We're going to unveil the brackets. 312-981-7200. We will take your phone calls. It's all college basketball from here until 7. Take your phone calls on your teams, what you think is going to happen here. What do you think about Michigan State? Am I wrong? Should I not be this upset that Michigan State did not get a one seed? You tell us. 312-981-7200. We also have a ton of coaches coming up here in the next 2 hours. We're expecting to talk to Greg Gard from Wisconsin, Fran McCaffrey from Iowa. We're efforting Mike Bray from Notre Dame, Tom Crean from Indiana, possibly our old friend Bill Carmody, old Northwestern coach who's now got Holy Cross in the NCAA tournament. We'll talk about all this. A lot coming up in the next 2 hours. Selection Sunday special here on 720 WGM. It's that time of year, NCAA tournament. The bracket is starting to be announced. I think we should have a one shiny moment just for this show. And there you are. It wouldn't be very long. It'd probably be about 10 seconds.
Greatest moments in beat history?
Yeah. Not a very long history.
Well, it's a building, growing history. can't, you don't want to get, there's a lot to choose from.
We are all college basketball from now until 7 o'clock. They gave us an extra hour today to help break down the brackets. We're expecting to hear from a number of college basketball head coaches, including Greg Gard from Wisconsin, Fran McCaffrey from Iowa, and some surprises along the way in the next 2 hours. Sam Panionovic is here to help us talk about the NCAA tournament. He's been covering college basketball games all year.
I hate to throw Sam under the bus just to start the show, but you were just in Arizona for a week. How did you actually get more pale?
I don't know. I was in a clubhouse most of the time. Good question. I also spent a lot of time driving around. I was in Surprise, Arizona. You know where that is?
Yes.
I've been to Surprise.
About an hour away, there's like 4,000 people. The town hall is the size of a garage, and the receptionist is 97 years old. That's what it's like in Surprise, Arizona.
Isn't Surprise, Arizona the home of the Kansas City Royals? Am I wrong about that?
I'm not sure.
Wait, that's where you were staying?
No, I stayed in Phoenix.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
Saw the little Cubs Sox yesterday. Would you believe that those berms out there? Did you go to Sloan Park when
you were
there?
Yeah.
The berms fill up faster than the seats. That's the hottest commodity in the entire area. And they fill up like an hour before the game. They're full.
And your brother's pitching for the who?
For the White Sox. He's going to hopefully get a spot with the Kannapolis Intimidators.
That's a single A, right?
Yeah, he's a rookie. So
that's low A?
I think that's Great Falls.
It's high.
Hold on a second. I didn't realize that.
You should probably know that.
You have a brother who's pitching for the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah. In the organization.
I mean, how is the family looking at you? Because you have a great job and all, and you're a big-time media guy. But, I mean, pitching for the White Sox, I would have an inferiority complex the size of Montana. My brother is pitching for the Chicago White Sox.
I'm happy for him. We're on the same plane now. It's like, you know, we scratch each other's backs as opposed to compete.
That's amazing.
Cool photo, by the way.
Yeah, it was a
thank you.
It was an awesome photo,
Twitter,
man.
The other day.
Thank you.
But Sam is here not to talk about baseball. He's here to talk about the NCAA tournament. We do have the South region. The bracket is filled out in that one of the four regions. Right now, we're going to give it to you, starting with games in Des Moines. And by the way, the South regional will be played in Louisville, the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. So keep that in mind here. But these games starting in Des Moines, the number one seed in the South is Kansas. Number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament this year, Kansas. They will take on Austin Peay, the 16 seed there in the first round, which, by the way, is the first round again. We can officially call that the first round again, finally. The NCAA got their act together on that one. The 8-9 game, again, in Des Moines, in the South bracket. Colorado is the 8 seed, facing number 9, UConn. Moving down in this region, the number 5 seed just lost in the Big Ten tournament. Maryland, the number 5 seed. Disappointing season for them. I thought coming into the year, Maryland was the most talented team in the country, and they have not played up to par. They will take on the 12 seed, South Dakota State, led by, any of you know this?
Sam? Oh, he's a Chicago kid. He went to Brooks. Oh, geez, what's his name? He played at Wisconsin, and he lost his job to Jimmy Jackson's kid. George Marshall?
George Marshall is his name. He is now the point guard at South Dakota State. David Hall had a column about him in the Chicago Tribune this morning.
Did he? I was on the plane. I didn't see it. South Dakota State, by the way, the Jackrabbits.
That is right.
One of the best names in the tournament, and
absolutely,
there are some people that pick these brackets. You know, a lot of people get scientific about it. Some people just pick colors and mascots.
Well, that was what we were. That was what we did start the show. Like how for people.
That's
that
how you fill your bracket,
right?
Out.
For people that have ever won, who know nothing about college hoop or very little. I mean, come on, you. Yeah. How do you go about it?
Carbon goes by best campus food or where he's been.
What ends up happening is by Thursday, I've read about every single team and I make my picks, but it never works.
How about it, though? That's what you do. You second guess yourself to death.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. I just fill out one bracket and I'm done.
That's right away. Right when it's hot.
And it's a strategy that's never worked. By the way, I read a story on George Marshall the other day, and it was all about he had transferred to South Dakota State to get his goal of playing in the NCAA tournament. And in my head, I'm going, Wisconsin just played in back-to-back Final Fours. So how does that add up? I don't know.
Another kid, though.
Fortunately, David Hall did not go that route in his column today. David's column this morning in the Tribune was very good.
We talked about that last year, though, where kids just pop up all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And they're from Chicago.
Oh, I do this every year. Go through the NCAA tournament field, and you can find an Illinois kid on almost every team.
And again, there won't be a team from Illinois
right
in the tournament.
Yeah.
Keep going through the
South. You wonder why they're leaving. All right, so again, Maryland, 5-seed playing the number 12-seed South Dakota State. The 4-seed in the South Regional, these games being played in Spokane. California is the 4-seed. They are playing the 13-seed Hawaii. Cal versus Hawaii. Moving to the bottom half of the South Regional.
Mike Jacobson tells me that Cal is a very dangerous team.
Okay.
And he meant it. So just watch out for Cal. Playing close to home, by the way, in Spokane. Continue on.
Relatively close to home. Well, yeah, I guess the,
if you're on the same coast, you're close to home. That counts.
The right quadrant of America.
Closer to home.
Left quadrant. I meant the right quadrant. I mean, for Cal.
I was going to say that Hawaii is playing close to home too, because they for them
that's close to home. I guess the closest place they could. All right, moving down the bottom half of the South region. Their 6-seed is Arizona. They will face the winner of our first play-in game between 2 11-seeds, Vanderbilt and Wichita State. So Wichita State, one of the bubble teams that does get into the tournament. Vanderbilt and Wichita State will play in a play-in game for the right to face Arizona in the first round. Number 6-seed, Arizona. The number 3-seed in the South is Miami. Miami, Florida is the number 3-seed. They will take on the 14-seeded Buffalo.
I love Buffalo. Buffalo is my early 14-seed pick.
To beat Miami?
Yes, I like Buffalo.
Right.
Sam, can you back me up that Buffalo can beat Miami?
They lose Bobby Hurley and then go far. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know about that. All right, and the game you already gave away earlier, the number 7-seed, Iowa, facing number 10-seeded Temple in the first round, and your number 2-seed is Villanova. This is in the South Regional. Number 2-seed Villanova facing the 15-seeded UNC Asheville. Your guys' initial impressions of the South Region.
Sam, your biggest game that you're looking at right now. My big impression is my Iowa Hawkeyes, my alma mater, playing Temple in Brooklyn, which is a home game in my mind for Temple. The Owls fans are going to travel strong. I like Temple to knock out the Iowa Hawkeyes, who have been absolutely miserable down the stretch, losing to cap it off to lose to Illinois in the Big Ten tournament. That is one thought, and I like Kansas to win the bracket because I'm not going to go against Jordan Cornette and the best team KU's ever had.
I'll tell you what, the team right there, and I'm going to try and throw out some teams. I'm not going to tell everybody to look at number ones because that's obvious. A team right there, and I think, Adam, you can agree with this one, that's a sleeper in that South region is Arizona. I mean, they're a top 15 team in the country, and they just went to overtime with Oregon. Call them a one, call them a two, whatever you want. They played them tough twice. I think they lost by 3 in overtime in the Pac-12 semis or whatever. They're solid. They can defend.
Yeah.
They could beat Villanova.
They've also been in the Elite Eight the last 2 years.
Very well coached.
Played two tough games against Wisconsin, losing both of them, but they played Wisconsin very well in those games. So they're well coached. They have experience. They're going to be hungry. I agree with you there. And I don't know that their road to getting back to the Elite Eight is all that hard.
It's not.
Villanova's a tough team, but out of the 2 seeds, that's one you can handle. I agree with you.
What about the Rainbow Warriors, Hawaii? They beat Long Beach State to get in, 64-60. A team like Hawaii is somebody that would excite me. Like, I think Hawaii, when you're watching first round of NCAA action, you love having your money on Hawaii. Anybody, can you feel me, a Hawaii?
You just want to pick Hawaii.
I do.
It's interesting because California, you can even group them in with Iowa. Teams that just love to fly up and down the floor. They don't guard anybody, but they have more shot makers than you have. In this tournament, on a neutral court, with like the depth perception differently, a team like Iowa, a team like California can lose in the first round, no doubt, because they don't defend. They get by on out-shooting you, and if you have one bad game, you're done.
I would say Maryland, the way that they have played, they need to be careful in almost every game they play because they have just been too inconsistent. Now, they also have the talent that if they got to the Sweet 16 and faced Kansas. If I'm Kansas, I'm going, well, that's not the greatest Sweet 16 opponent I was looking for, because, as I said, coming in this year, I thought Maryland was the best team overall. And Kansas, I agree with Jordan Cornette, probably has the most talent right now as we look at it.
They're 9 guys deep.
But I wouldn't want to play Maryland.
When we come back, as we continue to move it along here, we're going to go into the West region. We'll break that one down for you. And don't forget to play WGN Radio's Bracket Battle. It's sponsored by Alpamani Ford. Register and then fill out your bracket to make your picks in this year's Men's College Basketball Tournament. You've got until this Thursday at 11 a.m. to make your final decisions. You follow all the action and then check up on the standings, and you can compete against the WGN Radio family. Adam Hogue is in it. Sam Panionovich is in it. I'll be in there. Up for grabs? Yeah, that's right. Cash prizes, 63-game perfect bracket. You get it all right. You get $1 million. The highest point total will drive away with a two-year lease on a 2016 Ford Focus from Alpamani Ford. How cool is that? You can start playing today at WGNRadio.com/bracket battle and get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune news. Become a member today at ChicagoTribune.com.
If you missed it, Michigan State, not a one seed. We'll find out where they end up. We just gave you the South region. The West region is up next. It's our Selection Sunday special here on 720 WGN. Well, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Apparently, the entire NCAA bracket has been leaked halfway through CBS's selection.
Hack
show.
City, baby. We've got the whole thing right here.
This is like the NBA draft when Woj does it.
Woj.
You know, it's like, you know, Adam Silver gets up there with the third pick, and Woj is on 10. You know, it's like he's already seven picks ahead. He's got the trades. He's got everything.
Woj is my hero in life. This is The Beat, 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hogue, and he is Sam Panionovich, Mike Jacobson, producing with you till 7 o'clock. Even though we have the whole bracket, I guess we're going to follow along with CBS because we're nice people. Is that what's going on?
Well, they're also doing it at a pace that, I mean, we can't go any faster than what they're doing.
Right, but we could kind of like tell things.
I'm also a little skeptical that that bracket is entirely accurate, although the two brackets do match up with what has been officially released. Anyway, let's get to the West.
Let's go West.
Which we do know and has been out there, so we'll give you the West right now. These games will be played. The regional will be held in Anaheim, and your number one seed in the West, not surprisingly, is Oregon. You could argue that maybe they didn't deserve it over Michigan State, but Oregon does get in as the one seed, and they are out West. They will play the winner of Bill Carmody's Holy Cross. What's their nickname?
The Crusaders.
Crusaders. And Southern University. So you'll get a, look at that, you're going to get, not only is Bill Carmody in the NCAA tournament, he's going to have a chance to win a game.
Who had Bill Carmody making a tournament before Chris Collins?
And winning,
put your hand up.
Possibly winning a game.
You did
actually,
not.
No, he did.
Wait, really?
Yes.
I had that from, this is nothing against Chris. I was just a big Bill Carmody fan. And I thought he did a great job at Northwestern. I think a lot of people at Northwestern felt that way. It just, you know, he was there for a long time, and it was probably time to make a change.
That offense doesn't work in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't. It's easily defendable. His offense, Carmody's offense.
I thought that offense actually worked fine, and they won a lot of games they shouldn't have won. And Holy Cross comes into the tournament under 500, their conference tournament, and they win four games on the road. And one other thing about Bill Carmody. Five times he's been in the tournament when he's been coaching. He's coached 5 years outside of Northwestern. Five times he's been either in the tournament or the NIT. Continue on.
You're going to have your chance to root for Bill Carmody, Holy Cross, Southern University. It'll be on national television or whatever True TV is, which, by the way, the only time I ever watch True TV ever is during the NCAA tournament. 312-981-7200, by the way, if you want to chime in on anything with the NCAA tournament and bracket, if you have any beef with where teams ended up, we will take your phone calls throughout the next 2 hours. All right, so moving on in the West Regional. Again, it's Oregon as the one seed. In the 8 seed is St. Joseph's. The 9 seed is Cincinnati. So there's your 8-9 game out West. The number 5 seed, Baylor Bears, will take on the 12 seed, your representative from the Ivy League, Yale. Yale is in as the 12 seed playing Baylor.
Love Yale.
Your four seed is Duke. That's a dangerous four.
Don't love Duke.
I
hope somebody trips Grayson Allen in the tournament. That would make me happy.
That's a nerd bowl. Duke against possibly Yale.
Duke, Yale, possibly in the
the most successful game ever.
32.
In the schools of privileged kids from the Northeast for 500.
And Duke is playing UNC Wilmington. So a little bit of a North Carolina flavor in that first round game. Your six seeded Texas Longhorns, which, by the way, Porter Moser, if you heard the program early on, he said Texas is a dangerous seed or team. They are the sixth seeded in the West. They're going to face Northern Iowa, which is in the NCAA tournament again. They are the 11th seed. Number three seed is Texas A&M. They're playing UW Green Bay, the 14 seeded Green Bay Phoenix facing Texas A&M. So you have a possible matchup between Texas and Texas A&M there in the round of 32. That could be interesting. And finally, Oregon State, ending up in the same region as Oregon. Oregon State is your 7 seed. They'll take on the 10 seeded VCU. And your 2 seed is Oklahoma, the 15 seeded Cal Baker. Are they the Bears too? I don't know.
Cal Bakersfield? I'm not sure.
Cal Bakersfield versus Oklahoma.
On that Yale team, by the way, their captain was expelled for misconduct, which the university is not talking about what it was, but it was allegedly sexual misconduct. So his name is Jack Montague. So that's kind of an interesting side note to the Yale squad being in the West region that we're going through right now. Continue on, please.
By the way, Oklahoma getting to play its first round games in Oklahoma City. That's big. Also, though, Texas and Texas A&M are also in that Oklahoma City cluster of first-round games. So you could have a potential Texas-Texas A&M game in nearby Oklahoma City. I guess it's sort of nearby, but definitely drivable for Texas and Texas A&M.
I just love the nature of when they put the play-in games with the 2-16s, and then you're rewarded with a game against the best team in the region, and you get blasted by 30. That's it's like, congrats, now you play Oregon.
Sorry. No, it's interesting.
In Spokane, by the way. After you play in Dayton, you go from Dayton, two days later, you go to Spokane, you got to play Oregon.
How... I'm watching the show here, too, and they're showing Wisconsin's on the screen. They're all sitting there, waiting to find out where they're going to go. Dude, the bracket is already out. Twitter has been hacked. You don't need to sit there and wait. All you have to do is go to Twitter.
I'm sure they all have. Now they got to fake act excited for the show.
They have to fake act excited. Where's Wisconsin going? I know you looked. Do you not want to say? Do you not want to give it away?
No, I don't care. They're the 7th seed in the East region playing Pittsburgh.
Well, there you go. The Badgers in the East with little pet Greg Gard later on the show, by the way, the head coach of your Wisconsin Badgers, which nobody thought, by the way, the Badgers were going to make the tournament. If you go back to
they played Northwestern in Evanston.
Right. Yeah, you go back to early January, the Badgers were looked upon as at best an NIT team.
Howard Moore magic.
That's right. It was all Howard.
Howard Moore magic.
I'm a fan of Howard Moore. We might talk to him as well today. That's a possibility.
He got there right. I mean, he got there right after they lost to Northwestern, didn't he?
No, before.
Oh, maybe a game or two before.
They had a week off after when Bo stepped down. They hired Greg Gard. They had a week in between games, and they brought Howard Moore in, which was the easiest midseason coaching hire of all time.
Since we mentioned the East bracket in Wisconsin, we'll do that bracket next right after the 5:30 news. Brad Evans from Yahoo will be with us in that half hour as well. He's excellent. We'll go further into the bracket. East region is up next, 720 WGN.
Uh-oh. I might be in trouble on that one.
Whoever leaked this bracket is probably getting fired.
720 WGN, this is The Beat. Adam Hogue did not leak the...
I did not do it.
The college basketball bracket. Neither did Sam Panionovich. Neither did I, but I find it very entertaining.
It is entertaining.
This is maybe the best thing that's ever happened in college bracket selection Sunday moments. Leaked bracket. Chattanooga Mocs are officially in, by the way, if you're watching, but they could have learned that.
Yeah, they knew that 15 minutes ago.
They knew it a half hour ago if they were paying attention to Twitter. Come on, Mocs, you're actually so happy that you're the 12 seed playing Indiana and Des Moines. Go ahead, dude, give me the East region. Let's go.
Well, we have Yahoo Sports' Brad Evans coming up to help break down the bracket. But first, let's give you the East. This region in Philadelphia, North Carolina will get the winner of their second 16-seeded playing game between Florida Gulf Coast. Dunk City is back. Hashtag Dunk City. They're taking on Fairleigh Dickinson.
I love Florida Gulf Coast.
I thought you were going to say you love Fairleigh Dickinson. I honestly thought you were going there.
I like them, too.
We should play later on. We should quiz Carmen on where these schools actually reside. What state are they in?
Well, I know where Florida Gulf
Coast is. Can we do that? Can we get, Fairleigh Dickinson? And do you know where Temple's at?
Philly.
Okay, that's easy. Yeah.
What else you got?
Do you know where Florida Gulf Coast is?
Florida.
Do you know where Stony Brook is? Where's Stony Brook?
Stony Brook is Massachusetts.
Hey, by the way, I was in
New York.
Damn it.
I was in Fort Myers when Florida Gulf Coast beat Georgetown in the NCAA tournament. I'm in a bar in Fort Myers where the school is located. There were two people in the bar watching the game. I was one of them. The other was my cousin.
They just
did not care at all.
That's so depressing.
Yeah. By the way, all right, let's get through this East region.
East region.
This is North Carolina's the one seed. They'll beat Florida Gulf Coast or Fairleigh Dickinson. Okay, 8-seeded USC. 9-seed Providence. So USC facing Providence.
I like Providence. The Friars have a senior guard, Chris Dunn, who could have gone pro last year, stayed, now probably a lottery pick. One of the great two-way players. Watch out for the Friar.
I'm picking USC because Providence lost to DePaul this year. Your 5-seeded...
They were injured in that game.
That's a fair point. Yeah, that's a fair counter.
Your 5-seed in the East is Indiana. Indiana is a 5-seed.
Yogi.
Your winner of the Big Ten, 5-seed. They will face Chattanooga.
They're good. They're really good. They upset a couple teams this year, but Indiana's been a bust, though.
Your 4-seed is Kentucky, and they will face the 13-seed Stony Brook. So Kentucky and Indiana could possibly be your second-round matchup there.
Hang on 1 second. Stony Brook, Sam Panionovich, since you know that it's in New York.
Yes.
What's their nickname?
Oh, geez. The Stones?
The Stony Brook Stones? What do you think their nickname is, Adam?
The Brooks.
The Brooks? Jacobson, you want
I don't even know where to start.
Jacobson? The Stony Brook?
Stony Brook Broncos.
They're the Seawolves. Continue on. The Stony Brook Seawolves, they beat the Catamounts to get in, of Vermont, 80-74. The Seawolves versus the Catamounts. Go ahead.
Back on track here in the East Region, Philadelphia. Notre Dame is your 6-seed. Notre Dame, 6-seed. They are going to face the winner of the 11-seed play-in game, Tulsa versus Michigan.
Go Blue.
Michigan gets in the tournament. They're in one of the play-in games. And if they beat Tulsa, they will play Notre Dame. How's that for a first-round matchup? Notre Dame, Michigan.
I'm shocked that Michigan got
in. They won't play each other in football anymore.
Is Caris LeVert, is he out for the year, though? Michigan's best player?
Yeah,
he is out for the year. That's unfortunate.
Your number 3-seed in the East is West Virginia. They will take on Stephen F. Austin, the 14-seed. Your 7-seed is Wisconsin. They will take on the 10-seeded Pittsburgh Panthers. Xavier is your 2-seed. They'll take on Weber State, the 15-seed. So your top seeds in the East, North Carolina, the 1-seed, Xavier, the 2-seed. Should we go ahead and do the Midwest?
Sure, why not?
I mean, I don't know where CBS is or who cares, but the Midwest, the Midwest is being played here in Chicago. That is where the regional is at the United Center. Your 1-seed in the Midwest is Virginia.
Interesting.
They
can't love that draw if you're Virginia, even though you get a 1 because the 2 is Michigan State. But continue on.
Right. So, I mean,
does it really matter? Like, if Michigan,
but Michigan State should be the 1-seed in this region.
I agree.
And Virginia should be the 2-seed. If they're both in it, why couldn't they be flip-flopped? That takes away our whole geography argument.
It doesn't take it completely away, because if Michigan State had been the 1 in the West or whatever. But go ahead.
No, because Oregon was going to be in the West no matter what, because they're in the West.
Yeah, Virginia took Michigan State. Like, they've literally just flipped the 2 at the last minute. Or
which
decided
no
to go
sense,
all the way
because Michigan
along.
State has a better resume, won their conference tournament. Virginia lost to North Carolina.
The committee does not believe in the Big Ten. I mean, we've seen that. I mean, Indiana's a 5-seed. They're a 5.
But they put Michigan in. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, at the top of the conference, you know, Michigan State and Indiana, the two best teams, neither get a 1.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. All right, so Virginia's in as the 1-seed in the Midwest. Hampton is your 16-seed. So Virginia Hampton in the first round. Texas Tech facing Butler. Texas Tech is your 8. Butler is your 9-seed. Moving down in the Midwest, Purdue is also in the Midwest region. They are the 5-seed, taking on the 12-seeded Little Rock. Iowa State is your 4-seed, taking on Iona. Moving down to the bottom half of the Midwest, Seton Hall in is your 6-seed. They take on Gonzaga, the 11th-seed. Utah, your 3-seed, taking on Fresno State, your 14-seed. Dayton is your 7th-seed in the Midwest. They're taking on Syracuse, which not only gets in but gets a 10-seed. Syracuse and Dayton are facing off in St. Louis. That's your 7 versus your 10. And then Michigan State is in the Midwest, which is probably what they care about the most, but I still don't understand how they couldn't be the one seed. Michigan State, the 2 seed, taking on Middle Tennessee.
I was greatly looking forward to Syracuse not making the tournament this year. Now I'll just have to look forward to them losing in the tournament. I mean, that's not a great Syracuse basketball team.
And by the way, you said there's not a big difference between being the one and the two.
Yeah.
Would you rather face Texas Tech / Butler in the second round or Dayton / Syracuse? You could have to play Syracuse in the second round.
Okay. Listen, Michigan State should have been a one, and fine, their road is tougher. I won't argue against it. But I mean, end of the day, Michigan State does get to play at home, and I don't think it will matter. I think they're going to be there.
All right, so final
four, Sparty. Mark it down.
I like it too. All right, so that's your bracket. We have unveiled it here on WGN. Coming up next, Brad Evans from Yahoo Sports will join us to break it down. And then from 6 to 7, we're hoping to talk to a number of college basketball coaches that are in the NCAA tournament. It's our Selection Sunday special here on 720 WGN.
It's actually pretty amazing what happened today with the NCAA tournament selection show.
They're not done unveiling the bracket on CBS yet, and the whole world knows it, knows what the bracket looks like.
I mean, when people, invented the old World Wide Web, your internet, they never had a vision that they would be able to ruin things like the NCAA tournament selection show. I mean, that's basically what the internet's done today.
Let's bring in Brad Evans from Yahoo Sports, and our first question to Brad, of course, is, Brad, did you leak the bracket?
I am not responsible for leaking the bracket. I was actually doing a Facebook Live show with Stephen Bardo. We're in our bunker here at Yahoo Sports headquarters in Sunnyvale, California. And we're like three-fourths of the way through the show, and somebody says, hey, you guys got to wrap it up. I'm like, we haven't even seen the last region yet. They're like, it's already out. And I'm like, well, that's what CBS does for making the show, what, 10 hours? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Maybe a CBS employee was like, listen, you guys are making me work harder. This is what I'm going to do to you, and you'll never know who it is. They might have to go. They might have to leak fake brackets next year and put it out there and, like, see who, you know?
A little diversion. I like that.
So, there's got to be something they can do. What do you think about the respect that the Big Ten got, Brad?
Well, I think it's legitimate. For a certain number of teams, it is, except for Michigan State. I thought Michigan State should have gotten the last number one seed. I think it's absolutely asinine that there are two ACC teams on that top line. Not to say that I'm, you know, dissing North Carolina, which won the outright ACC title, then the conference tournament title. But I thought Virginia, last night's game was more or less a play-in for the number one seed, and the loser got a number two. But the Cavs get one seed, and Michigan State lands on a two. That, to me, is a bit baffling overall. I thought Indiana doesn't shock me. I had Indiana as a 4 seed, but it doesn't shock me that the Hoosiers are a 5. They played just a crappy non-conference slate. And time and time again, the NCAA selection committee has gone out and said, you got to challenge your kids. You got to, you know, schedule some tough opponents in non-conference to really, you know, pad the bottom line when push comes to shove. And at the end of the day, Indiana's strength of schedule is what really did it in and moved it down a full line. And some people even believe that the Hoosiers should have been a number 3 seed. Iowa, doesn't shock me at all that there were 7 based on how poorly the Hawkeyes played over the last month. You want to talk about a free fall going from the number 1 conversation to a 7 seed and will probably lose in round 1 against the Temple Owls team that plays excellent defense. Michigan getting in, I thought, was deserving. And you look at Michigan's draw, and you get Tulsa, which is, it's asinine that that team is even in the field.
They suck. They suck. They're not good.
They're awful. Awful. Like, I don't understand. They're not a golden hurricane. They're a weak tropical depression. I mean, that team has no business being in the NCAA tournament. Somehow they sneak in. Michigan's going to win that game, and I think Michigan State matches up beautifully with Notre Dame in the next round.
Yeah, I think there's some, you know, every year there's things that pick apart with this, but there are some really baffling decisions this year for me, and it starts with Michigan State. You know, I thought that, okay, when it first came out, the ones came out, I'm like, all right, well, they must have made some geography decision, which they do, to make sure that Michigan State ends up in the Midwest bracket where they'll be closer to home. But then when you look, I mean, they're in the same bracket as Virginia, and Michigan State should be the one seed over Virginia. They could easily be flip-flopped.
Yeah, and you know what? I had originally, you know, if you would ask me who do you pick for the national title game, I had Virginia, Michigan State. Well, that's out the window now. So thank you, selection committee.
I'm looking at the times Tom Izzo's been to the Final Four here, Brad. 7 times. 3 times as a 1 seed, once as a 2, Twice as a 5, once as a 7. I mean, we can debate this for hours about one or two. Is there a coach that it matters less to in the nation than Tom Izzo?
Yeah, I think you're hitting right on the head there. It doesn't matter. I mean, Izzo was interviewed today, and he said, you know, was asked the question, do you think you're on number one seed? He goes, I don't know. I don't really care. It doesn't matter. And really, you know, we can argue about either side of the ledger until we're blue in the face. But when push comes to shove, all that matters it is the draw, right? It doesn't matter if you're one, doesn't matter if you're a two. It's the region that you're in. And unfortunately for Sparty, it's a difficult one because of Virginia being that number one seed. But you look at the bottom half of the bracket, I think you know, Sparty will come out of that region and represent the bottom half in the Elite Eight in Chicago and probably playing Virginia as well in what could be just an epic bout between those two marquee franchises.
People love to debate, Brad. What's the toughest bracket? You looking at it for about 20 minutes right now. What do you think?
It's far none the East. It's ridiculous. That region is loaded. You got North Carolina on the one. Now, that's a team who could lead, you know, lose in round two or win the national title, depending upon what team shows up. A lot of Jekyll Hyde, you know, views of Carolina I've had for much of the year. And then you got Kentucky as a 4, and a team that seems to be peaking at the right time. They knocked out Texas A&M today in a hard-fought game, a team that plays great defense, a team that has the size, and two just dynamic guards in Euless and Murray. North Carolina-Kentucky Sweet 16 matchup could be the be-all, the end-all games. Like, I could watch that and die peacefully, knowing that it's probably going to be a sensational game. And then the bottom half of that region is Xavier, a very well-coached team, a team that hasn't gotten a lot of respect on the national scene, but one that's got a great pick-and-roll game and has very few weaknesses. And West Virginia. I love West Virginia because this is a team that has a matchup nightmare for anybody that struggles with guard play because of that full-court press. They just keep throwing bodies at you, wear you down to submission. And if I had to pick a team to come out of there right now, I'd probably take the Mountaineers over North Carolina and anybody else in that region.
Talking to Brad Evans from Yahoo Sports right now on 720 WGN as we break down the bracket. All right, this bracket's still pretty fresh, but can you see any updates yet? Or upsets, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at like a classic 12 over 5, I think, you know, one to watch out for here is Maryland and South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits can really light it up. A team that shoots well from outside, a decent rebounding team for a mid-major. Mike Dahm is their best player. He's a 6'9" post guy, a good face-up game, can back it down, double-double threat there. And that's kind of a weakness. Even with Diamond Stone and Robert Carter and Jake Lehman on roster, Maryland's played soft inside. And who the hell knows what version of Melo Trimble's going to show up, right? I mean, yeah. The guy was 2-for-15 in his last game. He had a long stretch about a month ago where he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. He's got turnover problems. The whole team's got turnover issues. It's been so enigmatic this year. So I could see Maryland staying on the bus mentally in that game, and South Dakota State pulling the upset. And I also like UNC Wilmington to knock off Duke. This Duke team, if you recall a couple of years ago, as a 4 seed, they lost the Mercer Bears in round one. This is going to be a repeat of that. This is going to be another nightmare sequel for Duke because statistically, that team is nearly identical. It parallels that team that lost in round one. They don't play like a defense. They're a sensational offensive team. I think UNC Wilmington, a team that can really light it up outside, features a 4-guard lineup, matches up well with Duke. I would not be at all surprised to see Wilmington sneak a win in a 13-over-4. And I'll go crazy deep here, and I will go out on a long limb and say that Weber State will challenge, maybe upset, Xavier in round one. They got a kid in Joel Ballenboy, who is a legitimate NBA prospect, interior player. I think Xavier could have their hands full dispensing the Wildcats out of Utah.
Joel Ballenboy. Get that name right, Joel Ballenboy. Let's talk bracket ethics real quick, Brad. How many number ones is too many to fill out your bracket? I can never put 4 teams in the Final Four that are number one seed. I think that's cheating. How many number ones is too much?
Well, 3 is too many. And obviously there were 3 number ones in the Final Four last year, but that's rarely occurred. Typically it's a pair of number ones and then, you know, maybe a 3 or 4, or even recently we've seen like an 8 seed get there. I think this year with the parity that exists, and I know that it's just been, you know, a dead horse that's been kicked and beaten and stabbed multiple times over, but with the parity that exists this season in college basketball, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we don't see a single number one seed in Houston. I really don't. And looking at the draw, You know, you look at the South region, I think Miami and Cal could give Kansas a lot of problems. In the West, I could see not necessarily Oregon having a tough road getting the Elite Eight, but on the bottom half of that bracket, I love that Texas A&M team. I think Texas A&M could knock off Oklahoma. I think Texas A&M could rep the West because they can control tempo and they sock in the mouth defensively. In the East, I already mentioned, that is a road full of potholes for North Carolina. Whether you're even looking at USC potentially in the second round or Kentucky in the Sweet 16 or West Virginia in the Elite Eight, I don't see necessarily if North Carolina can survive that region. And then the Midwest, it's Virginia and Michigan State, I think, that will battle it out. And if Sparty gets over the hump again against Virginia, remember they knocked them off last year in round two as seven seed, then you could potentially have zero number one. So I think that's entirely attainable this year.
Hey, Brad, real quick, before we let you go here, the NCAA just released their complete seed list, and they have Vanderbilt, Michigan, and Wichita State all ahead of Gonzaga and Northern Iowa, two teams that don't have to play in the play-in games. How does that...
Wow.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't. Where was Tulsa? Were they the very last team?
Tulsa is ahead of Northern Iowa, but behind Gonzaga.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's just the logic isn't there.
Zero.
Yeah.
All right. The logic certainly isn't there.
Hey, Brett.
It's a tough job. It's a thankless one. And I will say this, guys, before we get out of here. I think guys like me, guys who cover college basketball for a living and write about it and watch games at all hours of the night from coast to coast, should be the ones making the decisions, not the ADs.
I agree, Brett.
You know Tulsa's going to win game one now because we just buried them.
Well, it happens every year.
After listening to you for 10 minutes, Brad, I'm completely comfortable with you. You've done all the selections. I would go Brad Evans all day.
Thank you, Brad.
All right, guys. Good luck to you.
All right. Brad Evans, Yahoo Sports. Great stuff. Take a timeout.
I feel naked without Brad Evans now because I can't do the pool.
That's where you went after the interview. That's where you went.
I feel like I'm swimming upstream and I've got no support now that Brad's not telling.
I noticed you've been standing up ever since he said Iowa was going
to
lose.
Well, I don't disagree with that at all.
You feel naked without Brad Evans.
I do.
That's good work.
That was a lot of comfort with Brad Evans right there.
Well, again, and we're keeping it up to news here, guys. But
we are?
Yeah, we are. Oh. I went through this, again, with the mock committee a few years ago, and there are some, a lot of it comes down to travel and where the closest locations are, but still does not make sense to me how Gonzaga and Northern Iowa could be two of the last three teams in, according to their seeds. They're not playing in a play-in game, but three teams ranked ahead of them, Vanderbilt, Michigan, and Wichita State, are. That doesn't make sense.
That's why I want to be in the room. I'd like to just see one time, how do you guys come up with what you come up with? But at the end of the day...
Well, I did it, and it made sense, but then they actually come out with the actual bracket. It doesn't make sense.
Right, but you were in a room that was like kind of a fake room. You weren't in the actual... You were in the room...
Correct, but we went through the exact same process. And I remember getting to this exact point. Who gets put in the play-in games? And you go by the seed list, unless there's some egregious travel where, like, a team has to go from Dayton to Spokane, Washington in 24 hours, which, by the way, Holy Cross has to do anyway.
There has been a team, though, that has won that play-in game and gone to the Final Four. VCU did that about 5 years ago. Again, if you're listening, though, here in Chicago, I mean, the most upsetting thing to me, again, for the second year in a row, no team in the state of Illinois is dancing. And we're going to watch, you know, however many tournament games you watch, I promise you, if you pull that roster up, there's probably a guy from around the Chicagoland area on, you know, 60% of the rosters. And kids continue to leave, and they go other places. And it's a joke that this state could not get a college basketball team in a tournament with now 68 teams? 68? Couldn't get a team in again for the second year in a row.
Well, they got a new stadium going up on the old South Loop. Why that's happening, I have no idea. But I think what would be cool is if they did have a local tournament, Loyola, UIC, Northwestern, whoever else, all playing it. I don't know if that would help or not, but I'd like to see it. I'd find it entertaining. I don't think it out,
Illinois Hoops.
I don't think it'd get great crowds originally, but maybe you could build something.
Holy touchdown, baby! Chicago Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
A lot of pressure put on by the news department. Roger Badish understands nothing about the NCAA tournament, as he just said, and that it's all on us. So don't feel any heat there, Adam Hogue, Sam Panionovich. A special one-hour edition of The Beat, one-hour additional hour. Thank you very much. Brian Noonan will be here at 7. As we, the brackets are out, and the hackering doesn't matter at this point because they would have been out regardless. Here's one thing that I've picked up in our last interlude here. Syracuse is the lowest-ranked RPI team to ever make the tournament. 68 was their RPI. So Syracuse fans, and I know there's a ton of them in media, you can all feel very fortunate today that you actually made it into the tourney.
Well, and if you look at the NCAA's true seed list, they're still ranked ahead of VCU, Vanderbilt, Michigan, and Wichita State, and Tulsa.
They didn't win 20 games.
Yeah.
They were 19 and 13. The only way you get in with less than 20 wins is if you win your conference tournament. That's usually how it is. I mean, 20's been the benchmark for years.
If you're just joining us, a sidebar, and again, Brian Noonan will be on at 7 o'clock. We're extended hour of The Beat here with the NCAA tournament bracket coming out, and we're hoping to talk to some coaches. Fran McCaffrey from Iowa will be joining us a little bit after 6:30 news, and we're on the fly with some other coaches that could be joining us at any random moment. However, the sidebar to the bracket coming out was that it was leaked on Twitter, which I still find fascinating.
It's incredible.
CBS is in the middle of a two-hour selection show, just inching along slowly, 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 trying to keep every fan base, you know, on the verge of going nuts as much as possible. And the bracket gets released on Twitter like 10 minutes into it.
And when I looked at it, you know, I saw it retweeted by one of my friends who's in radio, who's always, like, people that are...
You went straight retweet, by the way. You didn't really verify to see if it was real. You
no,
just,
I was...
Like,
I was
retweet.
I was a little concerned that it wasn't real.
Is that an L or a T?
Yeah, I was like, could this be right? Is this out right now? But I thought it was, and, you know, I've gotten myself in trouble on Twitter before by believing things that aren't true, like a fake Adam Schefter, who, by the way, had a report this week. What was his report earlier in the week?
I missed his.
Oh, that was...
I saw the one about the Martellus Bennett trade.
That was the Martellus Bennett trade.
But that was some random New York Daily News reporter that they...
There was an awesome... Schefter,
that one was unacceptable.
Adam H. It was a ridiculous trade that would never have happened.
Right.
But anyway, so this... somebody got a hold of the old bracket and tweeted it out, and then so I looked at it early on, and as you were like giving the brackets, I'm like, I think we can give every single bracket, because this looks official. It was on an NCAA, you know, CBS document. It just looked... It looked spot on, and I don't know how that happened. But it happened, so I bet there will be some policy changes over there in NCAA bracket world.
Someone's getting fired. Let's look at the Midwest region, because that will be played here at the United Center
yes.
in Chicago. So I want to just, for anybody listening that may have tickets to that or thinking about going to the Midwest Regional at the United Center in 2 weeks, that'll be March 25th and March 27th. Curious as to... what the matchups could potentially be. Some sort of good storylines. Okay, so Virginia is your number one seed in this region, which doesn't have much local flavor to it, right? Although Tony Bennett, I guess, is from Wisconsin, if you want to really stretch this thing out. Butler, down the road in Indianapolis, is your 9 seed, if you're looking for, you know, a Cinderella story. And
Roosevelt Jones is from O'Fallon. Which is yeah. by St. Louis.
Purdue's the 5 seed, so you got a Big Ten team there that could move on into the Sweet 16. Or Iowa State, the Fighting Fred Hoibergs, playing in his own building. How about that? I'm stretching for storylines here, guys.
No.
Yeah, you know, overall, Michigan State's down here as the 2 seed. I got to say, I'm not all excited about the teams that ended up in the Midwest region.
Well, you are picking Michigan State, so you are going to get to see them, and you're also going to see a guy that I think is going to play, extremely well on the next level in Denzel Valentine, who does everything for
Sparty.
What if
they get upset? You're guaranteeing Michigan State in the Sweet 16?
Sparty just doesn't get upset. It doesn't happen.
They usually don't. I'm looking at Dayton, too. I wish Dayton could make a run, maybe if they were on the top half. I don't really like Virginia. I think for years people have lauded them as a Final Four team, and they just can't score. But yeah. Dayton's got four guys from Illinois. Kyle Davis from Chicago, Bobby Worley from Naperville, Kendall Pollard, who played at Simeon from Chicago, Josh Cunningham, who played at Morgan Park, Archie Miller, brother of Sean Miller, the head coach at Dayton. He just continues to pluck guys from Illinois. And that's a team – that's probably the most localized team in the Midwest region. But are they going to make it to the Elite Eight? Probably not.
We're, by the way, efforting lots of college basketball coaches, so stay with us here until 7 outside of the outstanding analysis we're giving you. But we're also having people that are possibly going to jump on at any moment. And Greg Gard of the University of Wisconsin, Adam Hoke's favorite coach in the tournament, will be with us next. So we'll do a little Badger basketball and a little Big Ten action as well.
720 WGM.
We are efforting Greg Gard, your Wisconsin head basketball coach. He did a phenomenal job, is what I'm trying to say, turning around the Badgers from a team that looked like they were heading nowhere to now back in the tournament with, what would you say, Adam Hogue, one-third of the talent that they had last year? Half? Where would you put it? I mean, you had some NBA...
Yeah, I mean, they lost three... big-time players from that, and then a couple very valuable reserve players, too.
And you lost Bo Ryan, who's a you got to give credit to Bo, right?
Says a lot about the system in place, says a lot about the coaching and the execution, though, and that's why they're there, because they're extremely well-coached and all the players buy in.
And by the way, I have talked to a couple... If you talk to any Wisconsin players, they swear by Greg Gard. I mean, they all wanted him to get the permanent job. Which he ended up getting. But I remember talking to a couple of former players after Bo Ryan stepped down. And my main question to those guys, because, you know, there's talk about Tony Bennett out of Virginia, former Wisconsin assistant from Wisconsin, son of Dick Bennett. Could he ever, you know, would he be a better candidate to take over the program, take it to the next level? The players I talked to swore to me that Greg Gard has the capability of taking Wisconsin to that next level to make it, it's already a great program.
So you're saying to win the national title because
right.
that's
Which
the next
they were
level.
So right, because they already won the Final Four. That was my big question was, is Wisconsin going to go back to being the team that's consistently making the tournament every year, which there's nothing wrong with that, or are they going to stay at the level they were the last 2 years, which was make the Final Four 2 years in a row, which is not easy to do, and you're obviously going to have down years anyway because you got to reload. It's college basketball. But I've been told and assured that Greg Gard has his own ideas for this program, is going to recruit pretty well, and we'll see what happens in the coming years.
I mean, he's got a five-year contract extension after, and think about that. I mean, Wisconsin was 1-4 in the Big Ten. They were 9-9 overall. They had lost at home to Western Illinois, to Milwaukee, to Marquette.
Yeah, I mean, there's some ugly games in there. And we talked about the night they were at Welsh Ryan Arena. I mean, I told you at halftime of that game, Northwestern's the better team. Because up until that time, that's how Wisconsin had played. And the rest of that game played out like that. Northwestern was the better team, and then, you know, but that was in the midst of, I want to say they lost
three in a row. Indiana, Maryland,
and they started 1-4 in Big Ten play, and you look at the total of those scores, it was like 7 points or something. Or no, it was like it was like an average of 3 points.
Yeah, 1 point loss, 3 point loss, 5 point loss. And I'm going to ask Coach Gard about, you know, that being the turning point, because sometimes when you hit like the ultimate low, you know, there are two ways you can go. You can either quit and give up, you could figure it out. Since they lost to Northwestern, the Wisconsin Badgers are 11-3 with wins over number 4 Michigan State, number 19 Indiana, number 2 Maryland, number 8 Iowa. That's their rankings at the time of the game. 4-19, 2-8.
Winning on the road. So a great job there by Greg Gard. And we're expecting to talk to him any minute now. We just talked to their people. And you should be joining us.
Did you guys say 11-2? In their final 13 games.
11-3 since they lost to Northwestern.
Right. And okay.
Including the Nebraska loss last week, which, by the way, was an abomination. like it didn't. That was the team you saw in the Big Ten tournament against Nebraska was the team that lost to UW-Milwaukee in Western Illinois earlier in the year. It made absolutely no sense why that happened. Nebraska played a great game, though. I got to give them credit.
I'm a little bit surprised by a bunch of things around the Big Ten. Also, I thought that, listen, I mean, Ohio State finished ahead of Michigan in the conference. I mean, they were a higher-seeded team going into the conference tournament. The Buckeyes do not get in. So that a little was surprising as well. I think Greg Gard is calling in right about now. So we'll see how he feels about I'm actually curious, as we started off here, you know, about how he went about turning it around. And let's bring in the head coach. Coach Gard, thank you for taking time. Congratulations on the way you guys turned around your season. 1-4 in the Big Ten, now in the tournament. Did you feel like, when you were 1-4, I guess, did you feel like, hey, we have a lot in front of us, this is possible? Or were you kind of like, oh my God, I don't know if we can even get to 500?
Well, you know, I never tried to look beyond the day we were in, and never allowed myself to really look to see where we needed to get to, where we were projected, or what was going on, other than we knew we needed to get better, and we needed to get things going back in the right direction. And, you know, fortunately, our guys did a tremendous job of stepping up and growing and maturing, and obviously 12 weeks later, 8 weeks later, here we are. So, like I said, I couldn't get consumed in that 1-4 record too much, or we would have definitely been overwhelmed.
Coach Gard, Adam Hogue here. Congrats on getting the head coaching job. And I know this bracket is just fresh. It just came out. But what are your initial impressions on facing Pittsburgh and St. Louis?
Well, it's a program that, you know, Coach Dixon does a tremendous job there. He's been there for a while. Ironically, two longtime assistants that now are at head coaching positions at that specific school. You know, he took over for Coach Holland when he went to UCLA, and obviously my position here more recently with the retirement of Coach Ryan. But, you know, Jamie has done a tremendous job there. I think programs are similar in terms of how we play, what we value, both pretty blue-collar, tough, physical. I mean, we played them in the NCAA tournament about 12 years ago, I believe, in 2004. So, you know, and we've had a home-and-home with them over the years. So we know they're a very good program, been consistent. He does a really good job. And we'll dive into film here more tonight and start to learn more specific things about them individually. But, you know, we're excited to be in the tournament and a chance to, for our program, it's the 18th consecutive year of being in the tournament. So, Adam, I know you as a graduate of Wisconsin. I grew growing up in the state, I didn't see any NCAA tournaments through my youth. But for now to have this be 18 straight is a great tribute to all the people that have put in a lot of time and effort into this program.
Coach, if we turn the calendar back almost exactly 2 months from now, your Badgers are in Evanston. They lose to Northwestern. The team's 9-9. Something changed after that game. I'd love to know exactly, you know, what happened. Were there some seniors that stepped up? Maybe you know, a guy like Nigel Hayes. Is there something that you did to spiral this team into a stretch that, you know, pretty much cultivated an 11-3 mark since that game? What did change?
Well, we only have one senior, and he's a walk-on who doesn't get a lot of playing time. So we're extremely young. And with all that we lost from last year, with four seniors and then Sam Decker leaving early, we had a lot of leadership and roles to fill and change and grow into. And I think what changed was just the growth of this team. And I don't think there wasn't anything that I did specifically. It was just a matter of continuing to stay true to the process, continue to try to improve, and not deviate or not flinch in the moment, and just continue to trust the process that things were going to be okay as long as we stayed true to what we were trying to accomplish. And really what I think the biggest thing is our chemistry and our culture in the locker room matured. And like I said, with having so many leaders leave last year's team, there was a lot of unidentified or unfilled roles that had to be grown into. And it just took a little time for that to mature. And that's a credit to our guys of how they didn't panic and, you know, fragment at a point in time when they easily could have. They actually started to bond and get tighter, and that helped with the turnaround.
Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard joining us here on 720 WGN. Wisconsin, a 7 seed in the East, facing the 10 seeded Pittsburgh Panthers in the first round. Coach Gard, the way you guys played against Nebraska last week in the Big Ten tournament, not really representative to how you've played down the stretch here. What was the response that you've seen from your players in the last few days? And could that, you know, you never want to lose like that in the Big Ten tournament, but it could actually help you here with the time you have off going into the NCAA tournament?
Well, that's how we'll approach it. That's going to help us because we really don't have any other option. So I never tried to make too much of any big wins we've had, whether it was the one at Maryland, Iowa, Michigan State here at home, Indiana here at home, all the other ones we've had through the course of the season. And I'm not going to try to dwell or make too much of a loss that we had. Obviously, we didn't play well. Credit Nebraska for how they played. I thought they were the more aggressive, more physical team. So we'll continue to work on that and hopefully play better. We need to play better this week. So, like I said, I don't want to dwell too much on anything and make too big a deal over our wins, and then also not get too wrapped up and hang too long on any bump that we take. We'll just keep moving on and understand it's part of the process. We need to shoot the ball better, which hopefully that'll happen. But again, it's credit for how Nebraska played, and we weren't as good as and as sharp as we had been in the last few weeks.
Last thing, Coach, we really appreciate your time. Just your thoughts real quick about the Big Ten as a whole not getting a spot on that top line. No Big Ten team with the number one seed.
Well, I don't know exactly what gets discussed within the committee meeting, so what rationale is behind all that, I'm not exactly sure. There's years when we've had ones. Obviously, we were a one a year ago, and deservedly so. Whether you're a one or a two, you know, I think you can use if you're a two and you thought you should be a one. In Michigan State's case, maybe you can use that as motivation. But really, a one or a two, is it that big a difference other than you get to see yourself on that line on that given moment when it's announced? Then you got to go play the game. So it still boils down to you're going to have to win four to get to Houston and two more to cut the nets down in Houston. So I don't, other than just that moment, like I said, of seeing a one, your name on the one line, I don't know if there's any whole lot of more value between the ones and the twos because we've gotten to the Final Four as a two and we've gotten to the Final Four as a one. So I think our league is extremely strong. I thought we saw the two more, the best teams when they're playing, when everybody's playing at their best. I thought the two best were playing today in Michigan State and Purdue from what I had seen over the year with the experience and talent. And I think everybody else that's in the tournament, I think Maryland is starting to hit their stride. I think Indiana obviously has played well and pretty consistent all year. And they're a hard matchup problem with how they shoot the three and all the shooters they can put on the floor. So I think I'm excited to watch and see how other teams do. And obviously focus most intently on how the Badgers are doing.
Well, Coach, good luck in the tournament. Couldn't help but notice you're in the East, Philadelphia, Bo Ryan's old stomping grounds. See if you can make a run there.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Coach Greg Gard from Wisconsin, joining us here on the beat.
There we go. Wisconsin also, by the way, 8-6 against teams that are in the tournament. So the Badgers face 10 teams who earned NCAA invites. VCU, Oklahoma, Syracuse, Temple, Green Bay, Purdue, Indiana, Maryland, Michigan State, Iowa. So a couple they've played twice. That's why 8-6. They say never shop on an empty stomach, but Brittany and Elliot, have your hunger covered with Chicago's Best Markets. That's Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Placing a loved one in a nursing home is one of life's most difficult decisions. You deserve only the best care for your loved ones in return. Sadly, nursing home negligence is real, and it's a serious problem. Neglect and abuse of the elderly happen every day. The law firm of Conasec and Dillon wants you to know that nursing home negligence can cause serious life-threatening medical conditions like dehydration, malnutrition, fractures, infections, pressure sores, and even death. If you suspect a loved one is a victim of negligence or abuse in a nursing home, call Conasec and Dillon. The law firm of Conasec and Dillon will advise and help your family through the painful ordeal of injuries or death caused by nursing home negligence. Conasec and Dillon, they understand that entrusting a loved one to a nursing home is one of life's most difficult decisions. Protect your loved ones. Call Conasec and Dillon, 630-262-9655. Consultations always free. Conasec and Dillon, 630-262-9655.
We stay in the Big Ten. Iowa's Fran McCaffrey joins us next.
Just makes you feel so good. Fight, fight, fight for Iowa until the walls and rafters sing Go Hawks. That's right. Going to Brooklyn, go to the Big Apple. The Iowa Hawkeyes, a number 7 seed, taking on the Temple Owls. Pleased to bring in Fran McCaffrey, the head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes, on our extended bracket show here, 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hogue. He's Sam Panionovich. Coach, does your style of life play in the Big Apple? I mean, how do you feel about a trip to New York? You got a lot of options, a lot of distractions going that way, but I'm sure you're happy to play wherever you could play. But New York, that's a big move.
You know what, Mark? I will say this. I mean, I've been doing this long enough. You know, when you play in the NCAA tournament, everything's different. And I really don't think it matters if you go to Brooklyn, if you go to St. Louis, if you go to Raleigh. It's a big time event. Every game is sold out. We'll have people there. Temple will have people there. Villanova will have people there. I mean, everybody will have people there. I mean, it's a big stage. And you know, we play on a big stage in the Big Ten. Well, the NCAA tournament's just a little bit bigger. So, you know, you're pretty much secluded. So, you know, the whole idea about this, there's no distractions. You fly in, you go to practice, you know, you deal with the media, then you eat, and you have meetings, you put them to bed, you get up, you got shoot around, whatever it is, it's so regimented, it makes absolutely no difference where the game is.
Yeah, it's very structured, Coach. And look, we just talked to Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard, both the Hawkeyes and Badgers last week in the Big Ten tournament didn't have the showing that you guys wanted to have. But we talked to Greg about kind of how you can turn that around. It gives you a little bit of extra time to prepare for the NCAA tournament, and I'm sure your guys got to be hungry too.
They're hungry. I mean, we gave them 2 days off. We had a great practice today. You know, today is a great day in the life of a college basketball athlete when you know your name's coming up. If it's not coming up, you don't even want to watch the show. You know, so our guys had an opportunity to sit there and enjoy it. Know we're going somewhere. It's an incredible accomplishment. There's a lot of teams that aren't playing, and we're playing. So we prefer to kind of focus on, okay, we didn't play as well as we would have liked in our last game. It's no different than any other game. Okay, what didn't we do well? What did we do well? What can we do better? What do we have to do better? And then what do we have to do specifically against Temple?
Coach Fran McCaffrey with us on 720 WGN. You've been the head coach at Iowa now. You just finished your 6th regular season. Your first season, you lost 20 games. This year, you won 21. And the progression is solid. NIT runner-up, first round 2 years ago, third round last year. What's been the biggest catalyst to help you turn that thing around in Iowa?
It's real simple. You know, what we did was we recruited four-year guys. We recruited character guys with talent. And to a man, they bought into what we were trying to do in terms of style of play, you know, defensive concepts, and share the basketball and really, you know, play five as one, accept your role. I mean, the things that, you know, sound like buzzwords or buzz terms are just critical. You know, how do you prepare? How do you prepare in the off season? Do you get in the weight room if you need to get stronger? Do you get shots up? And we have a practice facility. Are you in there getting shots up every day, or is it once in a while? And our guys really take advantage of the facilities that we have and work on their games. So what you've seen is guys like Anthony Clemens come in who are really good, but they've gotten better. You know, same thing with Adam Woodbury. So many of our guys continue to get better. You look like a guy like Jared Utoff. You know, a couple of years ago, he was a solid Big Ten player. Last year, he was a third-team All-Big Ten player. This year, he's a third-team All-American. And I think that's the key. And as long as you keep recruiting really good people who understand what it's like to be part of a team and what it's like to look at your whole career, not in terms of a short window. It's, okay, what do I have to do to be the best player that I can be for this entire period of time? And don't get too high and don't get too low in terms of preparation. And I think we've done that.
Fran McCaffrey, the head coach of the University of Iowa, with us here on 720 WGN. Coach, I don't know if you know, but the bracket was leaked by some NCAA employee. Did you get wind of that? Did you know where you were going before you saw it on the big screen?
We did not.
Okay.
We did not. Yep, we did not.
Okay, because like you were up a little bit earlier in the process. It was pretty incredible what went on.
Right. Maybe that had something to do with it. But we just watched it like everybody else.
When's the last time you filled out a bracket?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure that I've ever filled a bracket out.
Wow.
You know, and maybe that makes me weird. But you know, if you if you just look at, you know, when I was a player, we expected to go. We were at the University of Pennsylvania. We went to the NIT once and the NCAAs three times. And then when I've been in coaching, now there have been a number of years where we didn't go, a number of years where we've gone. Yeah, but the reality is, like I said, I mean, if we weren't going, I wasn't even watching the show. You know, I'm working to try to, what do we have to do to get there next year? And I'm no interest in watching that show if your name's not coming up. So, I mean, that's just how I feel about it. And I never got into, hey, let's fill out a bracket. What do you think? I mean, it's the definition of insanity. I mean, nobody can pick a bracket, you know, so why bother?
Yeah, I've been doing it for years. I've never been able to pick it. Coach, and you don't sound weird. You sound like a coach. That's what you sound like.
Okay. So, right. I'll take that as a compliment.
It was a compliment. It was. Hey, you mentioned Jared Utoff.
Thank you.
What has Jared Utoff meant to your program?
He's really a special individual. I mean, to watch his growth. I mean, here's a guy who wanted to transfer here and wasn't allowed to, essentially. So he had to pay his own way his first year. That's how much he decided he wanted to be a Hawkeye. So he comes, he pays his own way, you know, was a terrific practice player for us, but doesn't play for 2 years because he didn't play at Wisconsin and he didn't play here. So now he comes back, and he was a little bit inconsistent that year. But he was still good, and he just kept working. And then last year, he was really good on a really good team, and then he kept working. And then to watch a young player who was Mr. Basketball in the state of Iowa have the kind of interesting journey that he had and ultimately end up on an All-American team, and then to be the academic All-American of the year, which is incredible when you think about it. I'm just so proud of him and so happy that he represents our program, our school, our state. We're thrilled here at the University of Iowa to have not only the Academic All-American of the Year on the men's side, we have the Academic All-American of the Year and Allie Disterhoft on the other side. So that's pretty incredible for our school, and we take great pride in that. So, you know, when you look at Jared, yes, he's a basketball player. Yes, you know, he hoops every day. He works on his game, but he is a complete person. He's a terrific student, great family man. Really enjoyed coaching him, a terrific teammate, very humble guy. I mean, if you met him, you'd never, other than he's 6'9", you'd never think he's an All-American basketball player by the way he carries himself and the way he interacts with people. And, you know, he's going to be playing for a long time, guys.
I like to think that I'm a pretty astute basketball viewing guy here, Coach. I did not see the breakout of Jared coming this year the way it was. Did you have a feeling that he was going to make this leap?
I thought there was a chance. I don't know that you ever know that kind of year is coming, but I knew it was in there, okay, because you mentioned it earlier, the progression of him. And then you couple that with the fact that, you know, every day I come to work in the spring, in the summer, in the fall, okay, I walk by our practice facility, he's in there every day. Not most of the time, not some of them, every day, usually two or three times a day, to the point where I said, Jared, you got to get out of the gym. Like, you got to rest your body. You know, go take your girlfriend to the movies or something. Do something else. I love you, but you got to rest your body at some point. So when you see somebody who's driven like that, and you see someone who's already shown that he can improve, and I remember going back to, we had a practice before the season, and he absolutely went off. And you're like, wait a minute, I've been doing this 33 years. I don't know that I've ever seen that. And I've recruited and coached first-round picks, lottery picks, guys that made $50 to $100 million. Now, granted, you know, it wasn't every day, but what I just saw is different than what I've ever seen before. So if he's anything close to that, then he's going to have a special year, and then so can we.
That's awesome. Hey, Coach, congratulations on getting in. I know you got a little work to do to turn it around here, but hopefully you guys can have a big-time run here, starting with Temple in round one. Thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, enjoyed it, guys. Thank you.
Fran McCaffrey, the head coach of the University of Iowa. My recommendation to Jared Uthoff is to go to George's, get a cheeseburger, then you go over to the Hamburg Inn, get yourself an omelet and a shake. Then from there, you go to a little Paglia's Pizza. Live the dream of an Iowa City. I don't know if Mike Jacobson agrees with me, but have I ever mentioned that Iowa City's a great town? You should like take a vacation there.
I've been there a couple times. I like Iowa City.
Part of me died when they closed down Vito's. When Vito's closed,
such a Vito's guy. It's unbelievable.
It literally killed me. Part of it killed me.
I mean, you really belonged at Vito's. The news, by the way, a little bit ago was sponsored by Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. Final timeout, I think. Our final timeout as we hopefully will have one more coach on before we get on out of here at 7 o'clock. Make way for Brian Noonan, who, by the way, had an unbelievable Facebook post. I hope he's talking about that on his show. We'll talk about it with him on Transition. 720 WGN.
We thank Greg Gard and Fran McCaffrey for joining the program tonight.
Is that a coincidence that we had an Iowa and a Wisconsin head coach on? Or is that just how it worked out?
Probably a little bit of both.
John Gross was busy.
I mean, we had a long list. It's not like those were the only two coaches we reached out to.
Who do we reach out to, Mike Jacobson? I know we've reached out to a ton of people.
I'm a little offended. Well, I don't want to say offended, but I mean, come on, Bill Carmody. Where's the love for WGN?
Bill, he's not a...
And Mark Carmon, who's still fighting for you.
Sour grapes there, so you never know.
He's not Mr. Media. Bill Carmody doesn't want to do radio. I wasn't surprised that we got a no on that one.
But you're the head coach at Holy Cross.
And, he doesn't care.
And by the way, I'm really not complaining right now. Maybe it's coming off that way. But, I mean, you're in the NCAA tournament. You don't want to talk about your program in Chicago?
I don't think
he's... WGN?
That's not his makeup. I would love to talk to Coach Carmody just to give him a little congratulations.
I know. I just want to give him some love.
How about Coach Fran, by the way, nailing name roulette?
That was pretty good.
Yeah, you know, the three of us, and he's like, oh, hey Mark. All right. He's like, you had a 1-in-3 shot.
Do you know how much that made me feel just like a human being again?
He's a fan.
When Fran McCaffrey says Mark, it really did a lot for me. Like, I just felt like I was back at the University of Iowa. You know, I worked in the athletic department. Did you guys know that?
That was after you went to Harvard.
That's right. Or Hartford. One of the two. I was an athletic department employee for a very brief period of time, along with doing a little bit of radio at the University of Iowa, and I used to play at least a little some intramurals against the basketball team back then. Do you remember an Andre Woolridge? Does that resonate with either of you? Transferred from Nebraska point guard. Yeah, he whirled by me in one of those games. I was a complete blur. I was okay. You're the man. I'm hopeful that Iowa can do something, but I don't necessarily like the matchup for him at all. I wasn't going to say that to Coach Fran.
Yeah, Temple in Brooklyn, and then Villanova in the second round. I mean,
I also think if you...
By the way, how about Villanova versus Temple in the second round?
Philly.
That's a beauty for the region. I'm sure that be a lot of people out east that would like to see that. I do think that it matters, by the way, just a little bit, even though he's not going to say it. Going to New York with a basketball team, a bunch of 20-year-olds around Brooklyn... I don't know how you handle that, but
though that everything is so structured, you have no time. It's not like they let you free. You don't really go out and about at all.
And there are security people that are employed by the school, by the team, that are on every floor. They check in, bed checks and all that. Adam's right, though. You know, you wake up, you have breakfast at 7:30, and then you do your walkthrough, and then you got media, and then you shoot around, and then you practice, and then film. So there's really not much time to get crazy, and... you know, if you're waiting until the tournament to be a fool, then, that's your own fault. That you're finally here. Why would you go ahead and do something stupid?
I also think how about this then? If you're a college basketball coach, when are they going out there? They're playing on what day? Thursday or Friday? Do you know? Do you have that? Do we have times?
There are some times trickling out right now.
Regardless, like let's say they're playing Friday. You go out Thursday? You out Wednesday, whatever it is, you have some time where you can like structure in some form of event around being in New York City that I think you should do for your players.
Jimmy V would have been out. He would have been out in the town in the day.
Yeah, and I'm not saying even like out in the town, but there's a million things you can do. You're going to take him to the Statue of Liberty. I mean,
I thought you meant, I thought you were worried about them making bad choices.
I just think, when you're a coach and you are, I mean, it's not just basketball lessons too, right? I mean, there's a lot of, I would think, like, when I've been around my guy Ryan Marks, who had a great season at St. Francis University out in Joliet, and there's been some great pieces written about St. Franny, including David Hawes in the Tribune about one of their players who plays with Herb's palsy, basically playing with one arm, Landis Anderson. You know, that they would all, he would always do cool stuff, you know, depending on where he would go. And when I was around him, that was, you know, St. Edward's University, which was down in Austin, Texas. But they would invariably, he would go on some trips to different spots, and he'd find, you know, what was going on locally that would be of interest. I like that for a college basketball team. I think it's cool to give guys that type of experience.
Should we give out our Final Four picks?
Sure.
I actually, my national champion was bounced in the second round last year, so do I go first or last? You guys can decide.
Virginia?
I had Villanova, and they lost to NC State, so I'm already...
I had Virginia in my Final Four. Actually, my championship game.
I like Wisconsin, right? Didn't you put Wisconsin in there last year?
Yeah, I did have, yeah, so that would have been my championship. Wisconsin, Virginia, the old Bo Ryan versus Tony Bennett game that never happened.
All right, so I'll go first because I was worse last year. I got Kansas, Oregon, Kentucky, Michigan State, and the Kentucky Wildcats are my champion, led by Chicagoland star Tyler Ulis, who played at Marion Catholic.
I reserve the right to change this by Thursday. I'm going to Kansas, Oklahoma in the Final Four.
That's your South and your West.
And then on the other side of the bracket, I am going to go with North Carolina. Surprise, surprise. Although I would seriously watch out for Kentucky. That makes me a little nervous. And Michigan State.
Champion?
So I have two number ones and two number twos. And my champion, because I've already said it here, I think this is a year for Michigan State.
Well, I'll start in the Midwest along with you, Adam, and take the Michigan State Spartans to make it down to Houston. Moving up into the East, where the one seed is North Carolina, not going Tar Heels, can't do it. Two seed is Xavier, don't want to do that either. I don't want to pick West Virginia. That doesn't excite me.
Go ahead and do
come
it.
Come to the dark side. Come
go
on.
Come to the dark side. Wisconsin in the Final Four in the third year in a row.
Geez.
Sam, you pick Kentucky, right?
I did, yes.
All right, I'm not going to do that just to keep it. So we got Indiana at 5. Ooh, boy, it's getting dicey here. I'm going to take the Irish. I will take the Fighting Irish at Notre Dame out of nowhere.
They could have been in it last year, but they ran into Kentucky.
Lost by 2.
I'm banking on you, Mike Bray. Six seed. By the way, I reserve the right to change this opinion. But right now, I'll take Notre Dame. Going over to the South, I will take Kansas and respect our guy Jordan Cornette, the one seed. And then in the West, the Duck is 1. Not going Duck. 2 is Oklahoma. And wow, that just almost got painful. I almost said something I didn't want to say by the name of Duke.
It would only take you 2.5 minutes to get 4 teams and a champion.
Jesus, let's go.
Well, this is an important decision. I'll take Oregon.
I'm going champions.
I can't even comprehend what you just said. Who are your final four teams?
Oregon, Kansas? Oregon, KU, 2-1 seeds, a 2 seed in Michigan State, and a 6 seed in Notre Dame.
And who's
winning?
Michigan State.
Okay. And right. You said
Kentucky
is winning it all.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a timeout. We'll talk to Brian Neutert about all this. 720 WGN.